about fucking so easy. You gotta put it in
Ladies and gentlemen, for a more authentic presentation, portions of the program you are about to hear were actually recorded on the scene.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G. Ah!
You and me are going to our first rock concert together.
No way. Who is it?
Only the greatest artist of our time.
Madonna?
Better.
The Police?
Better.
Michael Jackson?
Well, he's worked with all three, but in a way, he's improved their work by making it super funny. Weird Al Yankovic!
The guy who sings about food.
Sure, some songs are about food, like Eat It, Lasagna, I Love Rocky Road, and My Bologna. But he also sings about love and life and hernias.
Tell me what the creative process is like when you go in to write a comedy album. Music driven.
I don't even know what that means, a lot of those words.
I don't have a thing to add to that.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
It's time to get paid.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over.
Have you ever why?
Just like the other one.
You're gonna have to speak in English for me.
Hey, it's Beer Mug here.
I need another year.
It's our time to shine. 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 It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
That is fascinating.
Roll.
We all know that men are idiots.
This one seems to be about cement.
Interview.
Go. I don't have another cent.
Did you ever learn the thing where boy parts and girl parts are different, and our parts aren't penises?
Hurry up with my damn croissants.
Just pass it around.
Give the man some croissants, will ya?
Why are you such a dick?
And now.
Anyway, I got some more music and goodies coming up. Stick around. I am here. Hope you are there.
Our feature presentation.
I like goodies.
That was deep.
So
he's here.
Here. He hopes we're there.
Yeah.
Where else could we be if we're hearing him? We have to be there, right?
Maybe.
I would think so. Maybe he knows more than we
do.
That's
what I'm saying.
Oh.
Yeah.
I may not be smart enough to speak Rodney.
That's a bummer. Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Friday. It's the 19th of February.
What's up, you guys? How's everybody?
Good.
Did the rain stop?
Thank you.
It did.
Yes.
Sweet.
We'll live.
Yeah.
You survived, man.
Barely.
Feels like a long week, doesn't it?
Sure does.
Why do you say that?
I don't know. We were off Monday, and
it feels like
a 48 such
week.
A long
this
week.
This is
it's
the
bizarre.
Third Friday this week is what it feels like. Come on, for God's sakes.
We have a very big show today, but I want to start with a basketball note. By the way, Dave's going to be insufferable today. The Clippers beat the San Antonio Spurs by like 30 last night.
Wow.
That's hard to do.
Yeah.
I don't know the details of the game, but I was shocked to see that. I mean, along with the Warriors, the Spurs are just the team that are almost impossible to beat. So, well done you.
What's up?
The story that I wanted to bring up, Kevin, you played. What did you play in high school? You played baseball and football.
Yes, and basketball. It was a small school.
You played all three.
Yeah, it was a small school, so they really needed just a warm body, someone alive. So that's what I played.
What were you best at?
Probably basketball.
Did they? Was it the kind of school where you could letter in a sport?
No, not really.
All right. What was the worst loss you ever had, or the most you ever beat another basketball team by?
The worst loss was when I was a freshman and I was playing point guard, and the other team full court pressed the entire game and stole the ball from me every single play.
Oh, Kevin.
All through the entire game, and they beat us 139-36.
Wow.
You weren't expecting that good of an answer, were you, B?
No. Well, first of all, you're generally fairly sketchy on details.
Oh, no, that I remember very
that
specifically.
That is slurred into your brain.
130. And they had like a 100-point lead in the fourth quarter. They were still full court pressing. I was like, come on.
How is there no mercy rule?
There's no mercy rule in basketball.
There should be.
There never has been.
This was high school or college?
It was high school, yeah.
High school.
Yeah, I was a freshman in high school.
I thought there were mercy rules
no.
in high school.
No,
don't you not want to embarrass the kids?
Oh, I mean, there's what you should do, but there's no rule. I mean,
of course.
You can't stop a game.
There's just sportsmanship.
Right, and they had bad sportsmanship, and they took advantage that I was terrible.
Well, you don't sound good.
Well, I'm saying it actually stood out in my mind.
How many of those points did you score, though, Kevin?
I don't remember because I'm guessing none.
Okay.
As basically when the ball left my hand, the other team went and scored.
Were they stripping it from everyone else too or just you? Were they just picking on you?
I don't know. Probably all of us, but I was the point guard, so I was the guy that brought the ball up.
Yeah.
Right. And then threw it to them.
That is unbelievable. Well, your score
Were you
is...
wearing similar colors?
Yeah.
I need to get to the bottom of this.
Well, I was a freshman. I was playing up. I was playing varsity, and I shouldn't maybe have been. And then and I don't know why they full court press, but yeah.
Okay. I'm
it's
sorry.
Burned into my mind.
I'll
yeah.
ask more questions.
139-36. Back to you, B.
Wow.
This, is that something that just stung like you couldn't get, were you...
What did your diary look like that night?
Yes, but at some point...
your diary.
At some point, you guys know me well enough to know that I start thinking, this is awesome. Like something, even though I'm the one that's the butt of the joke, something awesome is happening right here. Because I don't think I've ever seen a game decided by more than 100 points.
Was it the type of thing, though, that where you were on display as kind of the joke of the team?
Oh, absolutely.
And you were mocked like the next day at school and things like that?
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Like word got around, oh, my God, you can't believe what Kevin did.
But like if we lost by 50, that wouldn't have been funny. But over 100 points.
You're just high-fiving
people.
All right,
come on now. We lost by 100. That's awesome.
Well, Kevin, I'm going to tell you that the reason I bring all of this up is that there's a story in the news this week of a very, very similar game. The final score was maybe even more embarrassing than yours. It was 108-1.
One.
This is Cleveland.
Who's ever scored 1 point?
One, right. I've never seen that before.
Wow.
This is a Cleveland tournament, a semifinal for the Division III North Ridgeville sectional semifinal was going on. And the winning team was Gilmore. The losing team was Northeast Ohio College Prep. And Gilmore was the number one seed, and Northeast Ohio College Prep was the last seed in the tournament, and they ended up losing by 107 points. The reason I bring it up is here's what the coach says. Our intent was not to run anything up. And we took steps to not disrespect our opponent. They went 0-for-28 from the field and 1-for-4 from the free throw line. We let them shoot.
Wow.
So the community is outraged, saying that he could have easily done more to prevent the score from being run up like he did. He said he started making substitutions in the first quarter, bringing in his junior players. But you tell me, Kevin, I mean, you could certainly just pass the ball to everyone all the time, I guess, right?
Yeah, you could.
But you can't tell your players to miss shots, though. I mean, if they're offering no defense, you're going to get down to the other end of the court pretty fast, even if everybody's touching the ball. You're still going to run up the score a lot.
Yeah,
right?
I think if you're really worried about the other team, you just have your team pass, install, and run out the clock every time. Mm-hmm. And then maybe
there's no shot clock in high school sports, right?
I don't think so. Yeah.
So you could hang on to the ball for 5 minutes and not shoot it if you wanted to.
I'll just stand at half court with the ball and just say, "You guys just wait right there. We're ahead by 50. We're good. Let's just let the clock run."
So there are even some people who are saying that the coach, you know, the coach should be penalized or punished or something like that. That he did completely disrespect the opponent, even though he says he did everything he could. I was just wondering what you thought about that. I mean.
Yeah, you can do more.
At what point when it's 20-1 and 40-1, 80-1, at what point do you – I mean, I don't know what you do. And you can't just call the game, I guess, right?
No, there's no rule like that. Yeah, so you gotta play to the end.
All the time, yeah.
But it's crazy to see this scoreboard in the middle of the court and see 108-1.
Imagine the teams that didn't make that tournament.
No kidding.
Yes. Wow.
They scored 1 point.
Wow.
Now, if they'd had Kevin on their team,
right,
they scored none. Four.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Okay, here's the deal. It's crazy boring. It lasts forever. You're going to wish you were dead.
All of that true.
Yeah.
But it is Friday, so we have the movie beat. I'll tell you what movies are in the theaters. We have a brand new Bean Makes Us Guess. We have to tell you why the fire department was called to the station yesterday.
I think we should have people guess why the fire department was called to the station
good
yesterday,
idea.
By the way. Because in all of my years, I've never heard this one before.
Same.
Ever.
Same. Bad Tattoos Penis Edition.
I'm sorry?
Strangest Place You've Had Sex. And did I mention Steve Zissou?
No.
From Togetherness. He's coming in today.
Yes.
So that's today's Kevin and Beach. We'll take a break. We will come back with the Showbiz Beat next. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is Kevin and Bean Show at 5:52.
Yes, it is.
I want to go back to Kevin's basketball game just for 1 second. So it's funny in retrospect now that you lost by 100.
Yeah.
But you were dying out there, right?
Yeah, I was when we dropped behind by 50 and then 60, I mean, at some point you realize nothing I'm going to do is going to change this.
So you were actually like sort of enjoying the train wreck, the fire.
Yeah. I was. I wasn't for the first 50 or 60 points, so I was really angry.
Ralph, did you play high school sports?
No.
None at all.
I played a bunch, but it was all intramural stuff. It wasn't anything. We didn't compete against other schools and stuff. I played a lot of...
was your jawn?
My jawn?
Yeah.
Floor hockey.
Oh, nice.
Yeah,
oh,
big floor hockey player. We had a giant gymnasium, and they would... they had boards, and they would rink it off to rink size, and then they had stands and everything, and we played intramural floor hockey.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Allie played soccer one season. Is that right, Allie?
Oh, no. That was in elementary school, AYSO. But I was a swimmer, softball, tennis, and I know this will shock you, but I was also co-captain to cheerleading.
Oh, my Lord. Yep. It explains so much.
It really does.
Yeah.
You ain't got no alibi. You ugly.
That does explain so much.
I know.
That explains
so much. I was hoping
you
wouldn't ask.
Wow.
All right.
And it won't surprise you guys that I was the head of the AV club. That was me.
Yeah.
So
shocking.
We all ended up exactly where we should in life, didn't we?
No, I should be a defenseman in the NHL. That's where I should be. Oh, I was a good defenseman, man.
Were you?
Oh, I would crush it from the point. I had a slap shot. It would burn your skin.
Goalies
feared me.
Would it go in the net?
They feared me.
Right.
Not
were
always,
accurate?
But if it hit the goalie, he'd be like, ow! He's played those orange balls. Remember, you don't know if you ever played any street hockey.
I never did,
hockey,
no.
But, yeah. They would sting, those suckers.
Yeah.
Those suckers?
They're bringing straight fire.
Yeah.
5:54, it's Friday. Time for a first look at the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Speaking of Bean being exactly where he's supposed to be,
mm-hmm.
I love this email we got this morning from Tyler Hagel, who writes in, a podcast listener, I used to use Twitter just like Bean for 2 or 3 years. I didn't have a cap set on people, but I could follow every tweet that I would read from just under 100 people. I finally realized this behavior was the behavior of a serial killing maniac late last year and stopped cold turkey.
Hey.
After hearing what a lunatic Bean sounded like, I've never been happier with my decisions. Also, for what it's worth, I have OCD and I'm medicated. So these are Bean's people. We're hearing from Bean's people.
All right.
Some of them get out. Some, like this gentleman,
mm-hmm.
found a way out. So
please
give till it hurts.
You think Bean will find that way out?
We raise some money to try to bring Bean back to normal society.
I don't think that's possible.
Some of us believe it's possible.
No.
Not many of us. Some of us. I've never been prouder of my hometown of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
Than
today.
Because?
They stepped up. Kevin.
And did?
They suggested a solution to Kanye West's money problems. Kanye West, of course, as you know, is $53 million in debt. Doesn't
right.
really understand what debt means, apparently.
Put in debt in quotes, air
right.
quotes.
And he would like Mark Zuckerberg to step in and give him $1 billion so he can be an artist. And he's got a lot of money problems. So the Philadelphia Police Department made a suggestion to Kanye, which is basically get a job. They announced
like everybody else.
They announced to Kanye that they're hiring. The Philadelphia PD offers a starting salary of $47,920, and they promise Kanye that he will be debt-free by the year 3122. There's been no response from Kanye's camp as whether he will take them up on their job offer or not.
What could go wrong with Kanye as a cop?
Yeah, right, with a badge and a gun. I think that's a good idea.
Touchdown, Philadelphia.
That's what I'm saying. I mentioned yesterday I'm back on Survivor. I'm watching the first episode where that worm crawled inside that girl's ear and started eating her brains.
Yep.
Yeah, that was terrifying. But here's the thing I didn't know. Survivor is back for its 32nd season.
Wow, that is insane.
The 32nd cycle, I guess, technically. Because they don't do a show a year. You know,
maybe 2 a year.
Yeah, it kind of breaks down to two or so a year. But 32 seasons of Survivor.
Wow, that's crazy.
Can you believe it's been on for that long? Anyway.
I feel like, Ralph, and I may be wrong about this, I feel like that's the show that kickstarted the reality TV
absolutely.
Of the last 20 years.
Yeah. You may or may not remember, but at the time it was game-changing. I mean, the numbers it was pulling was ridiculous, and everyone's like, we've never seen a show like this on network television before. There's no script, and it's just people doing
what's
stuff.
Happening?
And what's happening? It's not a documentary, really. What is this? I'm scared.
It was great, too, by the way.
It
may
still
be. I don't watch it. But those first few seasons was great television. And Probst was such an outstanding host.
He still is. Anyway, the reason I bring it up, because Wednesday night it pulled in, still pulling, you know, not what numbers it used to back in the day, but 8.4 million viewers.
Wow.
So it made it the top show of the evening. It's still a monster hit. I guess that's why it's done it for 32 years. But it is compelling television. You can't not watch when it's on. And then once you've watched that first episode, you're like, okay, now.
I could not watch the worm or whatever.
Boy, that was terrifying.
I'm out. I'm with you. I would have tapped and shut the TV right off.
This girl could not sleep. And
nope.
So they've got the night vision on. You just see her sitting on the beach in the middle of the night, holding her head, screaming in pain. Because she can... she can feel the bites and she can hear the thing moving around in her ear canal.
Don't mean it.
And you can tap out at any time, right? If you decide you don't want to play anymore.
But she
didn't.
She was on the brawn team. Come on,
yeah,
brawn's my John, right?
Hey, how's the beauty team?
Ugh.
I'm just look. They're the ones who categorize them by brains, brawn, and booty. I'm just asking how
I don't
the beauty
know, somehow
team.
Somehow you
is.
Put your stink on it.
Yeah. That whole, that's the beauty thing.
Somehow they're able to say it without being creepy.
I just said, how's the beauty team?
We heard.
But yeah, it's a little creepy.
How is the beauty team?
They're beautiful, as you might imagine.
It's a great question, though.
I thought there might be one.
How's your brain team?
I thought Ralph might have a favorite already.
While we're talking television, did you like the HBO series Vinyl? Did you watch the two-hour premiere?
Yep.
I did.
I haven't had a chance to see it yet. Because, you know, someday you sit down and your DVR goes on and you're like, oh, I'd like to watch it. 2 hours?
Yeah.
Ah!
Yes. Yeah.
I can't right now. I just don't. I can't. You make that noise a lot and then you turn off the television and go in the other room.
Do something else.
I've been there a million times.
So I haven't sat down yet to watch the season.
I think you'll like it.
I think I will too. I know everyone else did. I know HBO did because they announced yesterday they're picking the show up for a second season. So, one episode in, they're already committed enough to bring it back for another year. So, that's good news.
All right.
Thank God.
It's good. Right? Have a job. Deborah.
He doesn't have to worry about a paycheck now.
That's right. True. Finally, Ray Romano.
Feed his family.
Making a little money.
Kevin, is that did he tell you, is that a wig he's wearing, or did he grow his hair 70s long?
He grew his hair.
Oh.
Really?
And beards.
My hair.
And you know what's weird is that a lot of people didn't recognize him with just the beard, like they normally do.
It shocked me. His first scene, I was like, whoa, that's Ray.
He could walk around any mall anywhere, and no one would know who it was.
He's got to love this.
I used to say to them, don't you know me?
It was the superhero costume.
On television.
I was like,
many years.
How is that blocking who you are?
Deborah.
Keeps yelling that story.
Why does he keep yelling Deborah?
Because it's his wife's name.
Oh.
Today's celebrity birthdays. TV actress Victoria Justice is 23 years old today. Right? Victorious? Right? Anyone?
I'm not allowed to say anything, apparently.
Right. Good. Move on.
He learned. Seals, 53. Smokey Robinson, 76. Haley Duff celebrates her 31st birthday. Jeff Daniels. How great is Jeff Daniels? I still miss the newsroom. Boy, I enjoyed that show. I loved me that newsroom. Where's that newsroom? Bring that newsroom back. Hey, give me some newsroom.
I don't think that's still a thing.
Benicio Del Toro is 49 years old. And Black Sabbath bassist, guitarist, Tommy. Now, I always get confused because he and his brother pronounce this differently, don't they? Iommi?
I thought it was Iommi, yeah.
Tony Iommi is 68 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
So, what if you've already seen Deadpool,
Go again.
Okay. Or maybe some other movies?
I suppose.
In a world, someone has been watching one man who risked everything.
Sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's Movie Beat. Welcome to my world.
Look, Deadpool.
Right.
Deadpool.
But then after
Kevin, you going again this weekend?
Yes.
Yeah, they're saying it's probably going to make another 60 mil this weekend. For its second weekend.
Wow.
It'll put it over, by today, probably should be over $200 million domestically.
Oh, my God.
And almost another overseas. So it's a game changer, that's for sure. But if you would like to see something else, here are your options for the weekend. These are new movies, some in limited release, like this documentary called Rolling Papers. We talked to the guy, the editor.
We did.
The pod editor for the Denver Post. And the Denver Post did, in fact, become the first major media outlet to appoint a marijuana editor. And this is the documentary of that process. Policy issues regarding the new coverage. Strain reviews. They've got people review pot now. Edible recipes. All the things that take place now in the unprecedented new world of pot journalism. Here are some clips from the trailer of the movie Rolling Papers.
No, I'm going to get high tonight, though. I'm going to get very high tonight.
Don't believe that's
going to happen. I'm going to get so f***ed up tonight. I'm like mother f***ed Tupac.
That movie sounds
fun.
That's
from my new documentary called Sad Guy.
Here's the actual trailer.
They're lining up around the block for legal marijuana sales in Colorado.
It's a massive story. People are watching very closely what's happening here.
Marijuana sales are beating expectations.
For us to take it seriously is just smart journalism.
The Denver Post has actually hired an editor to cover marijuana.
It's close to my heart, and I want it to kick ass and be relevant. We have a brand new website, The Cannabist. People are excited at the Post is going out on a limb and trying something like this.
So if you like pot, go see that. This movie's also coming out in wide release this weekend. It's called Risen. Interesting concept for a film. It's the biblical story of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, but it's told through the eyes of a non-believer. Clavius is a Roman military tribune, and his aide Lucius, they're tasked with solving the mystery of what happened to Jesus. Hey, you know that guy we killed and we put inside that cave? He's gone! What's going on with that?
Oh, that's interesting.
So they assign these two guys to solve the mystery of what happened to Jesus after the crucifixion. They need to disprove the rumors that he has risen in order to prevent an uprising from his followers in Jerusalem. It's like CSI Jerusalem. They go in like a detective team to try to prove what happened to Jesus. And here's the thing. He got out.
Right. It was a miracle.
Right. I'm guessing, spoilers, that's what they find out at the end of the film.
That's very clever.
Joseph Fiennes plays Clavius, the lead investigator. Tom Felton from the Harry Potter films is his aide Lucius. Peter Firth and Cliff Curtis also star. Here's some clips from the trailer of Risen.
The body has vanished.
His tomb is empty.
Who told you the Nazarene was alive?
Mary Magdalene.
You're looking for something you'll never find.
Open your heart and see.
No more lies. What happened to the body?
The ropes, they just exploded.
I have seen two things which cannot reconcile. A man dead without question. And that same man alive again.
It's a zombie movie. The first zombie movie. Get the Shroud of Turin down to the lab. Stat! I need the results on this DNA!
The hardest time in the world for non-believers had to have been in those years of Jesus' ministry where
miracles and crap.
He's out walking on water and stuff.
Yeah, turning water into wine.
Where there were all these people like, no, you don't get it. I saw him turn the water into wine. You're like, yeah, right.
And a fish.
Yeah. That must have been tough.
Yep. Pretty cool.
Jesus.
Right? Joseph Fiennes is there with his sunglasses on. Well, I guess this is a Good Friday. Yeah! CSI Jerusalem. Race opens up this weekend.
Race.
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 Race. This has to do with, in fact, race relations in the 1930s when Jesse Owens became the greatest track and field athlete in history, and that thrust him onto the world stage in the 1936 Olympics that happened to be held in Berlin at the time with that no-goodnik Adolf Hitler. Adolf Hitler, I don't know if you know this or not, not a big fan of the black man.
Yeah.
No.
Spoiler alert.
So for a black guy to show up in Berlin in 1936 and just crush it was earth-shattering.
Yeah, he couldn't get his head around how the black guy could be faster and better than all the white guys.
Than the blonde white guys that he put out there. So, fascinating story. Stephen James stars as Jesse Owens, Jason Sudeikis as his coach, Eli Gorey. Shanice Banton, great cast. Here's some clips from the trailer of Race.
Jesse, you have a chance to strike a powerful blow. Under the Hitler regime, we must not go to these Olympic Games to show our solidarity with the oppressed people of Germany.
You get a chance to be a part of history and you're going to walk away from it?
I've got people looking at me for an example.
I don't care about any of that!
Yeah, well, you're white, Larry!
People are counting on you.
To do what?
To get on over there to Berlin and beat those Nazis.
Kevin, this is perfect for you because this is just like the movie 42, but with no baseball.
Yeah.
It looks good to me.
It's a lot of running. And it's cool because Jesse Owens initially wanted no part of being sort of like the poster boy for America and to beat the Nazis. He just wanted to be an athlete, and all this stuff was kind of thrust upon him, and he rose to the challenge. So, good story. And lastly, The Witch is out this weekend. A family in 1630s New England is torn apart by the forces of witchcraft, black magic, and possession. Must have been cool to live back in those times when real witches were walking around making people toads and stuff and everything. Cool. Here's some clips from the trailer of The Witch.
You've cursed this family.
Who's there? Oh God, my Lord, I now begin. Oh, help me and I'll leave my sin. For I repent and thou shalt be. From evil I will turn to thee. None ever shall destroy my faith. For I repent and thou shalt be. Oh God, my Lord, I now begin. Oh, help me and I'll leave my sin. For I repent and thou shalt be. From evil I will turn to thee.
Let us leave for the work.
Ah! You know, New England still a location of mysteries and magic. Air leaves footballs.
Yeah.
Magically.
Actually, not true.
Playbooks get stolen.
Look up the ideal gas law.
Plays get stolen. In New England, there's still all kinds of evil, sinister magic going on in that section of the country. So
that's
all still going on as we speak.
Ideal gas law.
A place of evil.
I mean, if you feel like it, you want to be right.
Worship and
feels good to be right.
Ongoing happenings as well.
I think I'm with the guy.
I'm sorry?
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the movie beat.
All that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman. Ralph Garman. Movie beat.
You haven't really heard that song unless you've heard it with the extra woo-woos from Ally McKay.
You're welcome. Because
that's what really brings it home, I think.
Thank you.
Because Coldplay hadn't covered it on their end.
I nailed
they
it,
needed
though, right?
that assistance from
it's
you
pretty
to
good.
Make the song complete.
I think that's what he's saying. Yeah,
yeah.
It was pretty good. Yeah,
that's what I'm hearing.
Hey, later on this morning on the Kevin Beach, I'll give you another chance to win those tickets to go see The Cure. They are playing a sold-out show, a couple of them at the Hollywood Bowl. We'll give you tickets to one and put you on the standby boarding list to see the band in Roma. That's the K-Rock World Tour 2016, destination number 4. Grand prize drawing is going to be Monday morning in the 7 o'clock hour right here on K-Rock.
You guys follow the tweet of God? Not you, Bean, because 111, but I mean, anybody
Well, I'd have
else?
To drop somebody if I wanted to follow the tweet of God. But I will tell you, this is not a Twitter account I have followed, but I have seen his work because he is so popular that people I do follow sometimes retweet him, and he's very funny.
Yeah, it's a guy. It's a writer that used to work on The Daily Show for like David 11 Jebaba, years. Yeah. Yeah, and he would write this, and it had 2.3 million followers.
Well, it's God.
Well, I mean, it wasn't.
Oh.
But
okay.
It's the account is the tweet of God.
Oh, right. Got it. Okay.
But I don't think people followed because they thought that God was actually tweeting. No.
It was a very funny Twitter account, and he frequently took targets at, in particular, conservatives. His last tweet on the Tweet of God account was after Justice Antonin Scalia died over the weekend, and his tweet was simply, "Justice." That was it. He says the David Jeverbaum, who, as Kevin mentioned, was a Daily Show writer for many years, said that it was just taking up too much time. I have other things I want to do in my life, and I'm going to move on. So I guess that means there's an opening for God on Twitter, and we thought it might be interesting to find out what the real God thinks about this poser, the tweet of God, stepping down, and what's going to be next. How will he be further represented on Twitter, I wonder? So we got the Hotline to Heaven fired up, and I think we're going to get God on the line here, if we're lucky.
Hello?
Hey, God, how are you, man?
I'm well.
Hi, God.
Hey, God, how are you, man? Was just said.
Turns out I am not man. I
You're
am
God.
Who am.
That's right. Hey, before we ask you about
this... That's right. Well, thank you for telling me I'm right. Well, you have a me complex, don't you? You're telling me that I'm right.
Yes. Yes.
Thanks. Thanks for your approval.
All right. I feel like this got off to a bad start, God. Could we try again?
I think I got off to a bad start on your birthday.
Oh, God.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the show, God. God is on the program right now.
That's better. Thank you.
Hi, God. You're the best person ever.
Not a person, once again.
Okay. I just can't get anything right. Kevin, why don't you pick it up from here?
Hey, God.
Hello, Kevin.
Do you ever follow the tweet of God?
That douchebag.
Oh, really?
What?
I couldn't get my own Twitter handle thanks to that guy.
Did you try?
Yes.
Really?
I was like, oh, I'd like to tweet. That sounds like fun. Go and put the tweet of God taken.
Uh-huh.
Guy's got 2 million followers. By the way, I have more followers.
Yes, you have billions of followers.
Not on Twitter, just in general.
Right. In real life. That's
real
right.
Life, you do, yeah. And so I couldn't get it, so I couldn't tweet, and that was a bummer.
What did you think of the job he did, and were you concerned that people might think it was really you?
Meh. He was all right.
Just meh.
Oh, yeah. Wow. I'm impressed.
A lot of people thought it was really funny.
Yeah. Sometimes. But I'm glad I got it, and I'm glad he's gone, so now I can start tweeting.
You're taking over his account?
No, I'm starting my own account.
Okay.
Called The Real Tweet of God.
Okay.
_ It's Really Me. _ Yahweh.
And what kinds of things?
Yeah, I might want to shorten that up.
Yeah, that does sound like kind of lengthy. Yeah. What kinds of things will you be?
Are you there, Twitter? It's me, God.
Sure,
I like it.
I like it too. What kinds of things will you be tweeting about? Because he was very much involved in politics and pop culture, those sorts of things. Are they of interest to you at all?
Well, I will too.
You will too.
Oh. I'll be doing those kind of things. I'm hip.
Okay.
What kind of things are you?
I know what cooks.
What are you interested in?
You know what cooks?
You know, stuff.
Okay.
The universe and things.
Right.
Uh-huh. I'm going to tweet right now.
Okay. Here. Oh, wow. That's exciting.
Donald Trump. What's up? I didn't make skin that color.
That's a great point.
Burn.
Sick burn, guy.
Sick burn, right?
Yeah.
Let me get me some ointment for that burn, guy.
He's pretty orange, isn't he?
I've never seen that color before. I made a lot of colors.
Yeah.
I made you people like a bag of freaking Skittles.
Right. Yeah, you did.
But
you gotta
cover. I don't know what that color's all about.
Yeah, bringing the heat on your first tweet.
Yeah, how about that?
I like it.
Hashtag right. I gotta work on that. Here we go. Kanye West. Ooh. Sorry, world. Even I make a mistake sometimes.
Oh.
LOL.
That is going to hurt him.
Jesus. I know Jesus. Boom.
Yeah.
Oof. Right?
Drop the mic.
Yeah.
Here's another one. Hey, Tyga. Why wouldn't you let me into your Grammy party?
What? You were trying to get into the party too?
Yeah, they turned me away. So I thought it was on the VIP list.
It was Paul McCartney and Taylor Hawkins and Beck and you?
I was
and
right
you?
Behind Beck.
I didn't know that.
Yes.
And you weren't on the VIP list?
No. That hurts.
That does hurt. Like you haven't done enough for us.
Yeah, I got a lot of explaining to do on Twitter, too. Here's a... Sorry, world. Took one vacation day. Now Bowie's gone.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
Turns out we have an angel named Beer Mug working up here. Hey, Bean, you going to follow me?
Who do I drop, though? That's the problem. I got to dump somebody if I follow
Does
you guys.
Doesn't matter. He's God.
Well, I'll consider it, God.
Ugh, what an asshole.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 6:54.
It is Friday morning here. Friday morning pretty much everywhere. It's not just us. I mean, it's Friday where you are, too. But Rob is here with the Showbiz Beat now. The Kevin and Bean Show, what's going on?
I mean,
I can hear your Friday chunks forever. Keep going.
I'm here. I hope you're there.
Yeah, what about that?
Bean is slowly becoming the Rodney of the
next
generation.
Oh, please.
Yes, it's true.
How dare
Someday,
you?
Someday, years from now, some morning show is going to be playing clips of Bean, laughing at him, saying, can you believe he's still on the air? Did you hear what he just said about Friday? And then they'll play this. It's Friday here. It's Friday everywhere. Not just here. And they'll laugh and they'll laugh.
Look, I know we're all having fun, but that sounds like that might actually happen.
Because it will happen. That's why it sounds like.
That is going to happen.
That is terrifying.
Yeah.
That's the ghost of radio future. Just, just came to visit you. Speaking of Rodney, have you seen the video over at Playboy.com of Dave Grohl and Pat Smear driving around Los Angeles revisiting famous Bowie locations? And who hops in their back seat?
Yep. Rodney Bingenheimer.
Rodney.
Mm-hmm. You can see that video if you want.
It's killed rock and roll.
Parking. It's very entertaining. We put it up on the Kevin Bean Internet Roundup yesterday if you want to see it. It is at krock.com. But yeah, Rodney's right there hanging with his boys, isn't he?
I don't know if they're boys.
Well, you know what I mean.
Seems like they picked him up and gave him a lift, which was nice of him. Bean, it's got to be a tough day for you. I'm sorry, man. Los Angeles Police Department still believes Gwyneth Paltrow's stalker is a creepy guy. They are concerned about his behavior, and I know Bean takes it personally when one of his own gets pressure from the man and the heat comes down on him. Gwyneth Paltrow's stalker was acquitted last Wednesday, but the cops have said he's still a person who shows a dangerous obsession with the actress. Officers met with prosecutors to find out how things went south in terms of his prosecution. It seems like they had a lot of evidence.
Yeah.
He did send 66 letters to Gwyneth Paltrow over the past year. Sent her a bunch of pornography. Volunteered to cut the sin out of her body with a scalpel.
How is that? What?
That seems like
what else do you need to do?
What else? Bad option.
Showed up at her mom's house, too.
Yeah.
Just sick.
Yeah. He was previously accused of stalking her back in 2000, but was found guilty by reason of insanity and sentenced to 3 years in a psychiatric hospital.
And that didn't solve it?
No. Turns out he got out and went back to his old behavior. No one really knows how the prosecution went so badly. The judge, reportedly, after reading her Goop blog, concluded that no one would want to be around her that badly. But turns out he was. So they're calling this a failure of being quality, they're calling it.
Really? Yeah. They say that?
Wow.
Wow. It's huge.
Congratulations to Tatiana Maslany. Orphan Black will be back on BBC America starting April 14th is the date.
So good.
It'll be on Thursday nights this season instead of Saturday nights like the first three seasons of the show.
Oh.
So you're going to have to make a little adjustment there, but I think it's well worth it.
Do you watch that, Ralph?
I have seen the first season. The rest I got backlogged, but I just haven't got around to them. But it's brilliant.
Great.
It's great work.
Yeah.
Ridley Scott's famous 1982 movie Blade Runner is getting a sequel, and work has begun on that. They started shooting that this week.
So soon?
Listen, I'm all for it. I'll take it. Harrison Ford returns as Rick Deckard. one of the Blade Runners. He used to hunt down the replicants, if you remember the original film. Took place in Los Angeles in 2019. Can you believe it? That was the far distant future back then.
Wow. Isn't that funny?
2019 was the date. This will take place several decades after the original film. And Ryan Gosling has been set to star in the film as a brand new Blade Runner. In the film.
I'm listening.
There are still companies that manufacture replicants, these genetically engineered humans who look the same as real human beings, but they just don't have what we have on the inside.
Right. They're sex robots.
They're not sex robots.
Well, it sounds to me like that's what you're describing.
They're worker bees. And they work on colonies in space now. They're banned from the Earth because things went south last time they were among us. However, a group of them escape in this film, and then the Blade Runners have to hunt them down. So, I think there's a lot of story to be told there. I think that could be cool.
I like that Bean just inserted sex into the robot story.
Well, yeah. Because they're robots that are just like us, right? How about this Ridley Scott? How about that guy at his age doing the kind of work that he's doing with as long a career as he's done? Like, hasn't he given us enough?
So you want him to lie down?
No, I'm just saying it's just amazing that he and Clint Eastwood and a couple of these other guys that are really old are still making great movies. And it's really impressive. You know, there are so many people who make great work in their 20s and 30s and then they peter out. This guy has not missed a step. I'm trying to give Mr. Scott a compliment.
Well,
he just did The Martian, for God's sakes.
We'll pass it along to him.
Don't know if he'll understand. He's so old.
That's right.
I mean,
he's so near death, and you look at him. He's still doing things.
Am I wrong? Isn't he like 75 years old?
No, he is actually 78.
All right, he's 78 years old. I'm saying the fact is that he's still doing work as good as he did 40 years ago is impressive.
Older people can do things, turns out.
That's my point.
No, it isn't, apparently. The shock in your voice would belie that fact.
No, what I'm saying is...
unbelievable.
What I'm saying is...
I'm just saying, why don't you say less?
That's what I'm saying. We're saying you say less things.
Jesus.
Even if that's what you meant to say, it didn't come out like that.
That's my point, wasn't
at all.
He's so old, you'd think he'd be making crap. Because old people make crap.
Many do. Many old people.
Many young people make crap.
Right, but I'm saying artistically, you have to agree with me, Ralph.
No, I know. Now it comes to film.
That most people don't continue to be great at his age. That's all I'm saying.
Stop it.
There are exceptions.
Stop it.
Okay. All right. I'm going to stop it.
God was right.
Right?
Right?
God knows things, turns out. Today's celebrity birthdays. Jeff Daniels is 61 years old today. Seal turns 53. Benicio Del Toro, 49 years old today. Haley Duff of the acting Duff Sisters, 31. And actress Victoria Justice turns 23. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Later this hour, we're going to tell you why the fire department showed up en masse at K-Rock Studios yesterday. What?
Nothing.
A lot of firefighters showed up.
Yep.
That's all.
On
we Moss, were sure surprised.
On Moss.
Yeah, that's what I heard too. Anyway, that's coming up. First, though, how about Beat Makes Us Guess?
Beat Makes Us Guess, yeah.
Ooh, ooh.
Beat Makes Us Guess, yeah.
Who gets penis slapped?
Beat is a dick.
Pretty dope, man.
Just wanna tell ya.
I am the dumbest human that ever lived.
Now it's time for Beat Makes Us Guess.
Yes. Got to question the relevance of some of the clips included in the intro. I don't know what they have to do with
it's perfect.
Guess.
Works for us.
To me, yeah.
We're good, thanks.
Mm-hmm. I was fascinated by this news report this week that I guess it was about 10 years ago, about 2005, so 11 years ago now, they started doing something called Live Plus 3 Days. And Ralph, you know exactly what that is. That's
yes.
where the ratings are not just the people who watch the show when it airs on the TV. It's all of the ratings, including the people who then sit down the next day and watch it on their DVR the day after. So you get 3 days worth of ratings, and that's the final number on how many people saw the show, what they call in first airing. Okay. Well, last week, something happened that has never happened before since 2005. And that is that one network, CBS, had all 10 of the 10 most watched shows in America. How's that for a clean sweep? How happy are you if you're running CBS television right now? You've got the top 10 shows in America. And I thought it might be fun on this Bean Makes Us Guess to see if you guys can name all 10 of the 10 most watched shows in America last week. What do you think?
All right.
cake.
And now a CBS special presentation.
Kevin, as usual,
CBS.
You get to go
we love
first.
CBS.
These are CBS TVs. This is from Monday, the day after the Super Bowl, until February 14th, this past Sunday. So Monday to Sunday. And I'll give you a hint. One of the shows in the top 10 was live. All right? That's your hint. So 10 CBS shows. Kevin, you get the first guess.
CSI anywhere. CSI Los Angeles.
Is no longer, there's no CSIs on the air. That show is,
okay.
has run its course. There aren't any CSIs.
So that's not the top 10. Don't look at me like that, Ralph.
It was very popular for a long time, but it is no longer on.
All right.
Neither is All in the Family.
Okay.
Mary Tyler Moore Show, is that still on? I would have to say NCIS.
Could you be more specific, please?
NCIS Los Angeles.
Yes, that is number 9. Well done. You are on the board. Allie McKay?
The Grammys.
Oh, good guess.
The Grammys are a no because they were on Monday. They were on the day after.
Well, I saw
in the time
them
frame.
Sunday.
No, you didn't.
Not included in the time frame.
I didn't? Oh.
Big Bang.
Yes, Kevin. Big Bang Theory is the number 2 most watched show of last week. That's a Thursday night show that had 16.25 million people watching it, which is unbelievable numbers these days. Kevin, you are on the board. Ralph?
Blue Bloods.
Yes, Blue Bloods is number 6 for the week. Alan McKay?
2 Broke Girls.
I'm sorry, no.
Alan doesn't watch enough television, turns out. I never thought we'd say that before. Who knew?
K-Rex, Kevin?
Chunk and Bean.
Oh,
I'm sorry,
that
hasn't that
what?
That has not aired
yet.
Yeah,
that's going to be ABC when it airs.
That's next season, I'm sorry to say. Ralph Garm?
NCIS New Orleans.
Yes, NCIS New Orleans is apparently a show that I never heard of.
Scott Bakula.
It is number 4 for the week, you guys. A show I never heard of was the 4th most watched show in America last week.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
I think it's your turn, Allie.
What's that show with Allison Janney? Mom?
Mom.
Mom.
You're
damn.
The worst.
I don't know CBS shows. I'm not going to lie.
Are you 0 for 3, Allie?
I am 0 for 3. Thank you for pointing Garrett's that out.
Chip is helping me, and she wrote down Criminal Minds.
Ooh. Criminal Minds, is that? I don't think that's on anymore either, is it?
Yes,
son of a bitch.
Yeah, I think it's definitely on. Yeah.
She's not helping me, it turns out.
No, not at all.
So there's 2 people playing on your team,
and
still you're not getting
still losing.
Ralph is good at this game, you guys.
Yeah.
CBS. I know we don't watch a lot of CBS shows, but they're darn popular.
They are darn popular, aren't they? man, I'm running out. That's the problem. I'm running out of NCIS's in the name, that's for sure. Boy, I'm drawing a blank.
Right? CBS.
Television.
CBS.
Top 10.
Shows.
Touched by a Predator.
Is that a show?
Nope.
I might watch Touched by a Predator,
right, you
though.
You would be on it.
All right, Allie. All right, Ralph is out. So maybe this game will. Maybe most of them won't get guessed. But Allie, let's give you another shot. See if we can get you on the board.
Was Survivor that week?
Nope, just
Stop
came back.
Stop naming shows that weren't on the air.
I don't know.
It just
I
came back this
know.
Week.
Well, who cares?
It just came back like
this
2 nights
is the
ago.
Dumbest. I hate it.
60 Minutes.
Yes, Kevin. Thank you. 60 Minutes
on.
Was at number 7 for the week.
Okay. Amazing Race.
I'm sorry. That was not on in the period either.
Yeah.
The Grammys.
Again, still.
I mean.
Was it on last time? All right. One more time around, and then I'll fill you in on
wait,
the
was
the
a Super Bowl head. During that time?
As we said at the beginning, it was the day after the Super Bowl is when the ratings reached.
You just will refuse to listen. You refuse to pay attention. Now
she has a bean filter.
You are willfully now not playing by the rules.
I am not.
All right.
Good.
One more time around the horn, and then I will reveal. Kevin, your final guess, please, sir.
Knock, Knock Live.
I'm sorry.
That's
a great guess.
And stop pointing at your penis, please.
That'd be great.
Ralph, your final guess, although you've already won the game.
I can't.
How's he already won the game?
Because he's
got
all the points.
Some right.
Oh.
That's why. That's how I won the game. Like, having some answers that were correct. CBS.
What are people yelling at Ralph right now in their car?
Yeah, I know.
They're yelling a show.
There's got to be another procedural copy kind of thing where cops do.
I'm just fascinated
science.
That one of the shows on the top.
Oh, wait, I know.
Okay, wait.
You're done. You're out.
Yeah, you're out, Kevin. But one of the shows is a show that Kevin watches. That's why I think it's hilarious that he didn't come up with it. Ralph, your final guess.
Scorpion.
Oh, that was mine.
Yes.
That
Scorpion.
Was mine. Okay.
Is number five on the
Dang
list.
It.
Well done. Allie, final guess.
The one where the boss goes in and he's like, hey, I just work here. But he is really the boss.
Undercover boss. Can you just describe a show?
Happened
the one where the people are working in a place and they interact with each other because they're all working
That's
in the same location?
That's two broke girls. It's two broke
How about
girls.
That one where the guy lives in an apartment, he's got wacky neighbors
right?
and friends
oh,
and
my.
Dating problems? How about that?
All right,
what
here
are we
you
missing?
Go.
Here are the top 10 television shows in America, by the way, for last week, all on CBS. Number 10 is the comedy Life in Pieces. Number 10, Life in Pieces. A show, Ralph, you and I both watch.
Yeah, but it's new, so it slipped my mind.
Number 9 is NCIS Los Angeles, which I believe Ralph got. Number 8, which none of us came up with, and I wouldn't have either, is Madam Secretary.
No
Number 8.
Way.
Tia Leone. Yes, that is
People
number
People are
eight
watching that?
They are.
That's insane.
Number 7, Kevin, you got 60 minutes. Number 6, Ralph, I believe you came up with Blue Bloods. And number 5, which was Scorpion. And number 4, which is NCIS New Orleans. Nobody took a stab at what the live show was. I told you at the top that there was one show
Allie
that
tried.
Was
the Grammys.
Live in the top 10.
Well, no?
Hey, was it the Grammys?
Was
it the Oscars from 1968? Yes.
The answer was Saturday night's Republican GOP debate was the number 3 show of the week with 13.4 million people tuning in to watch freaking Donald Trump.
That doesn't jump to mind.
Number 2 was The Big Bang Theory. Kevin, you got that. And number 1, Ralph, was the other NCIS, which is the old school NCIS
Just
show. That
straight
was
up NCIS.
That was the most watched show of the week with 16.9 million people. So a clean sweep for CBS. This has been B Makes Us Guess.
Stupid.
B Makes Us Guess, yeah.
You put the photo up. Where can
I
people
did.
See the photo?
Yep. At the Kevin Ryder.
On Twitter.
Yep.
Okay. Trying to give details to help people get there. Let's put it up on the it's like pulling teeth to try to get Kevin to promote the thing.
Sorry.
Let's put it up on the Kevin Bean Facebook page also. A photograph that was taken in our office yesterday here at K-Rock. So here's the thing, and I know this is going to be very shocking for people who listen to the show. We're not entirely winging it. We actually do have a meeting after the show where we go, hey, you guys, what do you want to do on tomorrow's show? I know it doesn't always sound like that, but we do. All right.
But
so
every meeting does end with all of us yelling at Beer Mug. That does happen.
Yeah, that is actually
about one
true.
Thing or another. Yeah.
Especially yesterday.
Yeah.
So we're in the meeting and it's, I don't know, it's 10:20 or something like that. And we're having a conversation about a guest that's coming on or something like that. And then all of a sudden, the fire alarm shocked the crap out of us, didn't it? It was so loud. And, of course, you never expect a fire alarm, but it was just jarring the way it hit us.
Yeah, I think Ralph was bleeding from the ear
mm-hmm.
right
yeah,
after
it was
that happened.
Super loud. And here's what I think is fascinating, that nobody moves when a fire alarm goes off.
No, we waited it out, and then we were going to continue. But I don't think any of us thought of leaving.
Mm-mm.
And isn't that funny? And it kind of reminds me of the conversation we always have about what good are car alarms, really? Because
right.
nobody ever assumes, oh, somebody's breaking into the car. They always think it's something. Oh, it's the wind. You know, they always think it's something else. So the fire alarm goes off, and we all just sit there. And I don't know how much time goes by. It seems like 4 minutes goes by. Eventually, the fire alarm stops. And then almost instantly, the hallway in front of the Kevin and Bean office here at K-Rock is filled up with firemen.
And that was the first time when I thought, oh, man, maybe we should leave.
Right?
Maybe there's something wrong, even though this alarm was just searing into our brains.
And I just think that's so fascinating that we never think of fire alarm, which the reason the fire alarm exists is to alert people that there's a fire in the building and we should get out.
Right.
But no one ever thinks that way.
It almost never is.
All right. So the firemen show up, and there's like 4 of them, and Allie's doing her makeup and the whole thing. You know, as you can imagine. And we're like, what's really? Going on? And the reason the firemen were called to K-Rock really surprised me. I don't know if it did you or not, Kevin.
It
but
did,
it really,
100%.
It really surprised me. And again, you can see the photo on the Kevin and Bean Instagram, the Kevin and Bean Facebook page, on Kevin's Twitter or the Kevin and Bean Twitter. Call us right now if you want to take a guess as to why the firefighters came to K-Rock.
All right? 1-800-520-1067. That's the number. Let us know why you think the fire alarm went off. I was just so surprised by how fast they got here.
It was really shocking. I was like, were they outside the building? How did they get here so fast? That's insanity. And then, should we describe for people that can't see the picture?
Yeah, that's okay. A good idea.
So, Beer Mug walks in and just sits down like nothing's happening.
Yeah, it was very strange timing.
The alarm very goes strange. Off, the firemen show up, and Beer Mug walks in, and he's not reacting to the alarm. It doesn't. He doesn't seem to even hear it.
Mm-mm.
It's just business as usual, nothing what's there to see.
All right.
And then the hallway fills up with firefighters.
That's a pretty good hint that perhaps Beer Mug was involved in why the fire alarm went off. But what did he do that made the fire alarm go off? That's the question. 1-800-520-1067.
He did.
Beer Mug. You hear murder in everything, though.
He was
all right.
Involved.
Let's see what Daniel has to say. He's in Long Beach. He's our first caller through on line one, please.
Hey, Daniel.
Fork in the microwave.
Fork in the microwave. That's a good guess.
Yeah.
That's a great
food
guess.
And beer mug.
It's
that
food
would make
and beer
sense.
Mug, right?
Yeah.
Ooh,
you know what? It actually did not involve the microwave, but that's a great guess. Thank you so much. All right. Let's try Michael. He's in Whittier. He's on line three, please.
Hey, Michael.
Hey, hello.
Hi there.
Beer Mug was smoking a joint in the bathroom.
All right, by the way,
another good guess.
That was my backup guess and still is. Not positive.
That's my guess.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, K-Rock, like most businesses in California, is a non-smoking building. And you're right. If somebody were to smoke, an alarm would go off. That's a great guess, but we don't think that's what happened here. Thank you so much. All right, let's go to Lana in Venice, please. She's on line five up next on the Kevin DeBean Show.
Hey, Lana.
Hi. Okay. So did Beer Mug accidentally, like, sit on a wall and then the fire alarm went off?
Did he sit on a wall?
You know, he could. Of all people, he could manage to sit on a wall.
That's true.
You
know,
I'm also going to add, Lana, that's an excellent guess. I'm also going to add that Beer Mug is a big boy, and he's getting to the point now where it's hard for him to walk down a hallway without hitting a wall. So it's possible he could accidentally trip a fire alarm, but no, that's not what happened yesterday. Let's try Joe, Long Beach, please. Line four up next on the Kevin DeBean Show. Why did the firefighters come to K-Rock yesterday? And what did Beer Mug have to do with it? Joe, what's your guess?
I'd say he spilled his coffee or a drink on electrical equipment in the studio.
Another great guess.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Another great guess.
That could easily cause a spark that could cause the alarm to go off if you spill something into electricity. Yeah, that's a great guess, but no, we don't think that's what happened. Thank you. All right, how about Jesus or Jesus, please? Line 7, Irvine.
Hey, we talked to your dad earlier.
Thanks, I get that all the time.
Yeah. All right, what do you think?
He pulled it down intentionally so he can get out of the meeting.
He's not that
good
smart.
Guess. Not that bright.
By the way, why have none of us ever thought to do that?
Yeah, that's a good guess, but no. Sorry.
All right, let's try Mike Calabasas, line two. Mike, glad you called. Thanks for listening to the Kevin DeBean Show. Again, the photo is on all the Kevin DeBean social media if you want to see it. The firefighter showed up at K-Rock yesterday. Mike, how come?
Well, if you said it was Beer Mug,
right.
I'm assuming he probably burnt a pop part in the toaster.
Another good guess. Anything involving Beer Mug and food is a good guess.
Yeah. All right. Thank you for the call, Mike. I'm sorry that wasn't right. All right. So let's give a couple of hints, and then we may have to take a break here, and then we will tell you what happened. But it did not involve cooking at all. It did not involve the kitchen at all. Right?
Right.
Well, it's kind of his kitchen.
And it involved something that tripped the fire alarm yesterday that none of us have ever heard of before. Like, we didn't know this would even make the fire alarm go off. How about that? We'll still take a couple of guesses at 1-800-520-1067, and we'll explain what happened when we come back right after this on K-Rock. You're Kevin DeBean. I teach at a high school where fire alarms are always going off. Last year, there was an actual fire, and no one left their classrooms. They had to come on and make an announcement telling everybody to leave. Thank you, Scott, for that. He brings that up because yesterday in the meeting after the show here at K-Rock, the fire alarm started going off. And minutes later, the firemen actually showed up, and there was no fire. But Beer Mug, who joins us in studio, hey, Mugs.
What up?
did something that none of us had ever heard of before that made the fire alarm go off. What was that thing? Let's take a couple more calls, and then we'll ask Muggs what he did. Let's talk to Matt in Lakewood, please. He's on line one.
Hey, Matt.
Hi. I'm going to change my answer. It's something you never heard of. It's probably some kind of hairspray or something that the particles went in the AC and shut down the AC, which sets off the fire alarm.
As far as I know, the air conditioning was fine. Mm-hmm. I don't think anything happened to that, but thank you for the call. Appreciate that. All right, let's try Ishmael in Burbank. He's on line five, please.
Hey, Ishmael.
Hey, what's up, Kevin Bean?
How are you? What happened?
I'm good, man. So, I kind of have to change my answer now because I was thinking it was like a hoverboard or like a cheap electronic battery for a phone, but you said there was no actual fire, so.
Right.
I didn't know that.
Okay.
I figured like something like that you plugged in and blew it up.
Okay, good guess, though. Thank you very much for the call. Let's try Denise on line four, please. She's in Carson.
Hey, Denise.
Morning, guys. Fire beer mug, by the way.
Yeah, no kidding.
I didn't know that it was.
And miss out on all this excitement?
All right. No, after.
After, okay.
Okay, I think it was, beer mug was in the restroom taking a number two.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And he lit a match to get the smell out. Probably forgot to completely take it out, and the smoke, maybe in the trash can, turned on the fire alarm.
Very close.
Oh, very close.
Very close.
All right. Thank you for the call, and thank you for listening. Let's go to Jen, line two, please, Newport Beach.
Hey, Jen.
Hi.
Hi.
Okay, so I believe Beer Mug was in the bathroom. He was deucing it up, sprayed too much air freshener, and set off the alarm.
Yay!
You are correct, Jen.
Now, I didn't know that was possible.
I didn't either. It was too much air freshener. Now, how do you know about that? Have you had that happen somewhere where you've been?
I am a teacher, and about 8 years ago, one of the teachers was deucing it up, sprayed too much air freshener. Everyone had to evacuate into the field. He comes strolling out. Turns out he did it.
Thank you,
what
Jen.
What kind of toxic poop is happening?
Seriously,
that much?
How much air freshener do you need?
You guys act surprised. Like, you know my diet.
Yes. Okay, listen. So, the spray.
Yeah.
How much of it did you spray? Because then we got an email. We were all sitting around, and Muggs was just sitting there with a smile on his face. And we got an email. Allie, you want to read that?
A smoke detector was set off in a restroom. It's unclear if it was a cosmetic product or a scented spray. Thanks for the orderly and calm response.
Which is
no
calm.
Response.
No response.
Yeah, the orderly and calm response was none of us moved from our chairs.
Did you empty the can?
I was waving the can around as if I was directing air traffic on a battleship. on an aircraft carrier.
It's a tiny little bathroom. I can't imagine how much you must
have might have overdone it is what I'm saying.
Oh.
Because the meeting was happening.
Right.
And I had, you guys remember my fear
yeah,
fix.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I had the fear.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And I had a drop and go.
Right.
And okay, I was.
We got it.
Look.
So when the alarm went off, did you think that was you?
Not at first.
You didn't. When the firemen showed up, do you think that was because of you?
And they went into that bathroom.
When they went into the bathroom you were in.
Yeah. Not, well, so it's scared, it startled me. It startled me.
So Beer Mug doesn't say anything. Then Bean reads the email about that, and then Beer Mug goes, maybe it was me. Maybe it was me.
Yeah, look, as much as we joke about poop on the show, I was embarrassed. I didn't want anybody to smell the fumes coming out of me.
But you understand that the rest of us would have choked on the aerosol that you sprayed in there.
Yeah, your cinnamon-covered poo doesn't really help.
Would you guys rather smell what's inside of me or aerosol?
Boy, those are tough choices, man.
That's a silly choice.
I'm going to suggest that there's a third option, which is neither.
Yeah, the third option, and I thought that this was the unspoken rule of the office, is nobody poops at work if they can help it.
Right.
But nobody poops at work.
But courtesy flush is the answer.
Right.
That would have helped.
And we said, Muggs, did you do that? And he said, waste water.
Yeah, yeah.
while the fire department was, three firemen were outside of our office. He's like, waste water.
I don't normally do courtesy flushes.
Well, maybe you should.
Well, especially I didn't really have time because the meeting was going on.
Right.
And I was trying to get to the meeting.
Yeah, because it takes a long time for a courtesy flush. What are you talking about?
it would have taken a little bit extra time.
No, it wouldn't have.
It would have. Listen.
It would have taken you the time to turn around and reach the little thing.
Guys.
It's called a handle.
Handle.
I'm embarrassed. Hey. I'm embarrassed by my eating habits, therefore what it results in.
And that the good news is, no matter how much you poop, you never seem to lose any weight. Let's go to Jim real quick. He's in Whittier. He's on line three. He may be able to help us out with the science of why the fire alarm went off.
Oh, good. I didn't understand that. Jim, hi.
Because I don't either.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen.
Hi there.
I want to say the smoke detector cannot tell the difference between the aerosol spray and actual smoke. The particulates look the same for the smoke detector.
Is that right?
Oh, so the you know what? This makes so much more sense because I always think of it detecting fire, but it doesn't. It detects smoke. That's where my confusion was. Okay. So it senses those particles and thinks, oh, that could be smoke, not knowing that it might just be air freshener.
And not knowing one way or the other, it goes into alarm as more of a safety feature to activate the system and evacuate the personnel.
That makes a lot of sense. Right. Thank you so much, Scientist Jim. We really appreciate that.
I got to tell you, the fire department was here so fast. I feel like
I was so impressed.
I feel like they have a sensor in Beer Mug's beehole. But they know, when it starts to build up, they're on.
shout out!
They're on standby.
Shout out to Firehouse 68. They were the guys who arrived on the LA City Station 68. They were the guys who arrived on the scene.
And would you like to say anything to them?
I'm sorry about my ass.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 7:54.
All right, Kevin and Bean listener, Robert Chavez is going to drop some knowledge on us that will clear this whole thing up about how smoke detectors work. Okay. He works with Costco Fire Protection. Right. Most smoke detectors have a photoelectric light inside. These look for what is called obscuration of the light. So when the spray enters the smoke chamber, it sees it blocking the light and thinks of it as smoke. That makes sense, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
So in other words, it's just looking for something that's, you know, that's blocking the light.
I'm sorry,
so
now we...
Nerd.
Well, I appreciate the information, Robert, and now I know. Ralph, wake up. Hey.
Huh?
Hey.
Huh? What?
Time for the Showbiz Beat here on a Friday. Oh, what's going on?
I had a nightmare. I dreamed precious radio time was being taken up describing a smoke detector.
That's
how
it never happened.
Yeah.
That's just a cold sweat.
Yeah.
Oh, I found it fascinating.
Yeah, we know you did, Rain Man. Hey, let me give you something for putting up with Beam. How about passes to the K-Rock advanced screening of
Gods of Egypt?
Yay!
This movie looks awesome. It's got ancient Egyptian gods that turn into dragons and flying monsters. Fire comes out. Blown up temples.
I feel like I've seen the whole thing now.
Right? I brought it to life. Gerard Butler stars in the film, and it is opening in theaters everywhere on February the 26th. But you, my sweet, sweet friends, will get to see it before anybody else on February the 24th at the AMC AMC Burbank Theater. Thanks to the folks here at K-Rock. So if you'd like to see Gods of Egypt, give me a call now. 1-800-520-1067. First five callers through with that phone number get passes to see the movie.
Hell yeah.
Right? Rodney will be there. Right. I like this a lot.
What?
This story that I'm about to tell you.
Okay.
Blade Runner. Back in production, Ryan Gosling starring in the film, Harrison Ford returning as well as Rick Deckard, legendary Blade Runner, taking down the replicants. I love that first film so much, and I think it is a perfect film for a follow-up. It's one of those stories you say, yes, I can absolutely see a sequel to this film working. Ridley Scott's back in the director's chair. I think good things are going to come from this. I'm usually not a remake, sequel kind of guy, but
right.
I got good feelings about this. I don't, however, have good feelings about Disney's sequel to Mary Poppins.
Oh.
That's a tall order.
Wow, no kidding.
That is, you're messing with the bull there.
It's practically perfect.
Yes.
Okay.
Hello, and this is 50 years? How many years past the original movie?
I want to say over 50 years, I believe.
Not a remake, a sequel.
Sequel.
All right.
Apparently in the premise of this movie, Michael Banks, remember little Michael, he was one of the little charges that Mary had initially, the Banks kids, right? It was Michael and his sister
Tabitha.
Chlamydia.
I don't think it was chlamydia.
I'm pretty sure it was. Okay. That's where the name came from.
I didn't realize that.
And Michael's all grown up, and now he has children of his own, but he's having trouble with them.
So what does he do?
Who are you going to call? Poppins Busters. So Mary returns to help him out, and it's going to be it's going to be musical also. They're going to write brand new songs for this, and everything is going to happen in it. And I think, how do you go up against Spoonful of Sugar? How do you go up against Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious? How do you go up against I Love to Laugh? How do you go up against Let's Fly a Kite? How do you go up against, need I go on?
No, I think you've covered it.
Ralph, what was the name of the movie that kind of was about the bringing of Mary Poppins to the big
Saving
screen?
Mr. Banks.
That's right. I wonder if that's kind of what put the story back on people's radar and people thought, hey, it might be fun to revisit those characters from the original.
That, and this movie has been shown to children every day for the past 50 years.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, never really went away.
No, it has lost none of its luster, none of its beloved qualities. Generation after generation has fallen in love with this movie and Julie Andrews as the titular character. And all of the music still lives on. And now, Disney is sort of taking their classic animated films and making live screen versions of them. They're starting to cannibalize their library a little bit and repackage everything. And I guess they thought this was an opportunity. I think it's going to be a steep uphill climb. Because this isn't a movie that's gone anywhere. This is a movie still fresh in people's memories and it's still very beloved. And I don't know. However, they're talking to Emily Blunt about taking over the role about playing Mary Poppins.
Well, that sounds like it.
All
might
right,
be good.
She
that might work.
A pretty good choice.
Yeah,
I'm not worried about her. I would be concerned about the whole structure of the thing. Because anytime you have one of those roles, well, now he's all grown up and his kids are the trouble. It just screams of direct to DVD for me. Speaking of which,
you're going to hate this.
Have you seen the trailer for Kindergarten Cop 2?
Yes, no,
I have.
Starring Dolph Lundgren.
No,
yes, I have.
No.
Just do yourself a favor.
Nope.
Punch that up on the old YouTube. And
that's like a Funnier Die thing.
Sit back and open your pants.
Nope.
That is, that's a good time right there.
That took a turn.
I feel like I'm being led astray here.
Hey, speaking of pants coming off, tonight at the Improv on Melrose, we're doing Hollywood Babylon. I usually do it with no pants. So come on out and see us. Kevin Smith and I are taking the stage doing Hollywood Babylon at the Improv on Melrose. And tonight, we never have guests. It's our first guest ever, but we're going to have Rhett Reese, one of the screenwriters from Deadpool, to come on stage and talk Deadpool with us a little bit. So it's going to be a good show.
Just take a victory lap.
Take a victory lap.
Basically.
I felt so bad because I read an article yesterday where Rhett and Paul were being interviewed, and all the guy would talk about is like, what's coming up in Deadpool 2? It's like, let the guys have a week to enjoy their success before you start putting a gun to their heads. Tonight at 10 p.m. at the Improv on Melrose, you can go to improv.com.
No way.
Jim Rome will not be there.
No, thank you.
Okay, Jim, I get it.
No.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Jeff Daniels is 61, Seal is 53, Benicio Del Toro turns 49 years old today, Haley Duff of the Acting Duffs. Who's your Haley, Kevin? I mean, who's your Duff, rather? Are you a Hillary or a Haley guy?
I don't really have a...
Come on, everybody's got
Hillary,
a Duff. Everybody's
Hillary.
Got a Duff.
All right, Hillary.
Why, because she married a hockey player?
Didn't know that, but sure, I'll go with that.
I've always
Michael
been a
Connery,
Haley.
But they're divorced now. So you did the right thing.
I'm always a Haley. I've been a Haley guy from way back. Mm-hmm. Okay,
I didn't know that you had to be one team or the other.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't realize
it's like
that.
Marianne or Ginger. You got to pick a Duff. Okay. Haley seems like a goer. Duff. Haley seems like just a good time. Haley, you want to party with Haley.
Right. She was Napoleon Dynamite, right? That's Haley. She was one of the stars of Napoleon Dynamite, Haley Duff.
Really?
Yes, that's how I know her. Am I wrong? Am I thinking of somebody else?
Bean doesn't help the conversation.
I am being told by Casey, Finger on the Button Girl, who knows movies, that yes, she is one of the stars of Napoleon Dynamite, and that's where I know her from. What do you know her from, Ralph?
My pants. And Victoria Justice celebrates her 23rd birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Hey, keep on listening for your chance to win your way into The Cure at the Hollywood Bowl. We got those tickets for you coming up in less than 1 hour from right now. And we put you on the standby boarding list to see the band in Rome. Grand prize drawing is going to be Monday morning for K-Rock's World Tour 2016 Destination Number 4. That is coming up just before 9. And then just after 9, actor Steve Zissou is going to be here.
Who?
That is Steve Zissou.
Okay.
For the return of Togetherness, which is such an awesome show. You know, Girls is coming back on HBO this Sunday night, and then Togetherness right after that. So it's a pretty cool hour. So we'll talk to Steve coming up in less than an hour, too.
It's a pretty cool hour. So you get up, you go to work, you work at a Wendy's, and you probably don't anticipate being bitten by a customer.
I would think no. that's...
I think that's reasonable. Yeah, you don't expect to get bitten at work if you're... Yeah, I don't think any of us expect to wake up and get bitten by somebody.
But it does happen occasionally. I don't know how angry you can possibly be that your order was wrong. Some people...
Is that why he bit the lady?
She, I think.
Oh,
a woman bit another woman because the order was wrong.
Yeah.
Listen to Tell me report. More.
A Richmond woman bit off more than she could chew.
By the way, he does that through the whole story.
Nice.
I want to punch him right in the face.
After confronting a manager here at this Wendy's behind me at Brook Road and Azalea Avenue in Henrico County, that manager tells me she had no other option
but to
defend herself.
Stop.
Yes, Pete.
Before we even get to the Wendy's victim here. Mm-hmm. Is this guy being forced at gunpoint to do this news report? Has anyone ever sounded less like he wants to be on television than this reporter?
He's just, I'm here at the Wendy's. The woman got beat.
You've heard the expression hangry, a combination of hungry and angry.
I think he's... I don't know. I don't know if he's bored or if he's really excited to be able to work in all these puns.
Like, I think he thought, I'm going to be on TV and I'm going to win a Pulitzer for bringing down government corruption. And now he's at a Wendy's in Alabama or someplace talking to a woman who done got bit.
She matched me in size, but she had a lot of heart. Because she came for me, she swung.
Wendy's worker LaTanya Nelson says this woman, 25-year-old Lovely Robinson.
I was like, you know, you can't be in here, you got to go.
Wait.
So Lovely ordered food.
Oh, my God. A woman named Lovely is arrested for biting someone.
Yes. Lovely was just the opposite of that.
Uh-huh. Would fit the script for angriest customer she's ever personally served.
Cursing at me. And she said, I'll come across the counter. I was back there. I said, okay. And she came back there. And she tried to come for me. But I defended myself.
Throwing haymakers where they cook hot fries.
No. Hey, everybody. Wow, throwing haymakers. Wow.
Now, what makes him believe that she threw haymakers? Don't you think it was, look, I'm not casting any dispersions on girl fights, but don't you think it was probably not a haymaker?
I think if somebody comes over the counter at me, I'm throwing a haymaker. Absolutely.
Yeah, you come for me, it better be a haymaker.
What was wrong with Lovely's order? Do we find out what the problem was?
I think we do.
But I defended myself.
Throwing haymakers where they cook hot fries. Nelson says she couldn't believe the appetite for destruction.
Hey, the appetite for destruction. Oh, huh? Throwing haymakers.
Am I right?
Appetite for destruction. Listen to B laugh. I hate this guy. For the reason that you love him. All right, let's continue.
She clamped down on, like, right above my kneecap.
Now, she's talking about the
That's
mouth.
Where she bit?
The mouth of the girl was biting right above her kneecap in her leg. You can see a bite mark in her leg.
Was she chip-sized? Why did she bite so low?
I don't know. Good use of chip, though.
You're welcome.
Yeah, like, I continued to punch her because she was biting me.
Leaving a biggie-sized bite mark above...
Hey! Size at Wendy's called
a biggie size.
Leaving a biggie size bite mark above Nelson's left knee. Nelson says she was able to fight Robinson off. Henrico police charged the Richmond woman.
Now, I have not heard of some of these charges.
All right.
But it is funny to me that the woman bit her knee and then she continued to hit her and the woman, like a pit bull, wouldn't let go.
Oh, wow.
What
She's
the
not
hell?
Lovely. She's not lovely.
Right, exactly.
With malicious wounding, intentionally damaging property, preventing law enforcement from making an arrest, and trespassing. That's the charge Nelson says kicked the violence off, claiming Robinson stormed in the lobby behind another employee after changing her order of 2 spicy chicken sandwiches.
She switched the order to 4 of the 99-cent chicken sandwiches. Like, so I guess she didn't have $11, she only had 4.
Okay. That's it.
That's it.
That's why.
So hold on a second.
She launched herself over the counter and bit the woman in the knee.
So did Lovely? I'm trying to track.
Lovely
this now.
Changed
so
her order. Bean.
She changed her order. So did she not get what the second order was? Did they not hand
she
her the food that she ordered?
She must have given her the
time?
2 spicy chickens instead
and expected
of the,
$11. Yeah. The woman said, "No, I changed my order. I only have $4."
I see. Oh, I understand now.
So
okay.
It's on.
Yeah.
At that point,
it is on.
Yeah. It's haymakers. Well,
I can't blame her at this point. It's appetite for destruction. It's biggie wounds.
It's the worst reporting ever, right?
Right. I don't fully understand the need to have sex in public, but there are a lot of people who enjoy it. That's for sure. And there's another couple that's back in the news as a result of doing this. You guys familiar with this place in Las Vegas, Center Strip, called the Link, L-I-N-Q? I did not know this hotel.
I don't know it either. Mm-mm.
This is part of the Caesars Entertainment Empire. They opened up a Ferris wheel back in 2014 called the High Roller. And it is it made international news this week because of a couple that was having sex in car 15 on the High Roller. And they have a crazy backstory that we're going to hear about in a second. Plus, we're going to take your public sex calls because they at least can check off on their bucket list, hey, we had sex on a Ferris wheel.
Well, yes and no. You'll find out in the story, he was actually cheating on his fiance with somebody else that he found.
Right. Like I said, they've got an interesting backstory.
Okay. All right.
But they did have, my point is, they did have sex on a Ferris wheel. So that's the topic on the table, is the unusual and interesting and impressive places that you've managed to have sex is what we're going to want to hear from you at 1-800-520-1067. But let's meet the players in this story.
New tonight, the crazy story of the two people having sex on top of the High Roller is getting even crazier. We're now learning the man and his fiance came to Vegas to tie the knot, but ended up doing the hanky-panky with someone else on the strip attraction.
Steve and Trisha, the couple was supposed to get married that day, but they got in a fight, so Philip Panzeca went off and got drunk and found another girl to get frisky with right up there.
Philip thought...
Okay, so... Again, they're dating, from what I understand, like 2 months, and they decide, hey, let's go to Las Vegas and get married, because that's always a good idea.
Right.
He finds out that she's pregnant. She tells him on their wedding day, hey, and I don't know how it came up, but hey, I'm pregnant with another man's baby. I was pregnant before I met you.
Oh, my God.
Okay? So he is furious, and as you heard in the report, he says, I'll show you, and he goes off and meets another girl and ends up having sex with her on a roller coaster, and it's the other girl's 21st birthday. So everybody's celebrating here.
Philip thought his soon-to-be wife was pregnant with another man's baby, so Philip took to the streets of Las Vegas.
All right, here's the weird part. Now they do a Skype interview with the couple. So the
Which couple?
The guy and his fiance.
Okay. Who are back together, Allie.
Who was, yeah.
They're back together.
They're back,
oh,
they're back together.
This is good.
And they're being interviewed while driving on Skype.
How many crazy bad decisions.
So here we go.
Got some margaritas, probably like 4, 5. One thing led to another. She was there by herself.
Drunk in love, Panzeca and Scordianos headed to the High Roller. Court documents say witnesses saw the two going at it. Panzeca says he didn't know people could see in.
We get up to the highest points, we're like, we're golden.
Security tells them to stop over the intercom.
Here's my favorite part.
They paused briefly, but kept going anyways.
We think it was like a recording, because they kept saying it over and over again.
And they kept saying it over and over again because you kept doing it.
Oh,
right, maybe.
Not
yeah.
the sharpest tools.
She's in the car with him.
Nearly 30 minutes later, the ride ends. Panzeca and Scordianos arrested immediately.
I was drunk as f***. I was running around naked. You know, I was just acting like a little kid again.
And after 2 nights behind bars, fiancé Misty Bozant came to his rescue at the tune of $3,000.
Doesn't that show what a good heart I have?
I do appreciate it, and I feel bad about everything.
Oh, my God.
She bailed him out. They're together.
I'm single.
They're together.
I'm single.
That is the takeaway, Allie, yes.
Wow.
It's funny, by the way, because Mrs. Scordiano, who I said it was her 21st birthday, she has an attorney because, you know, this is a potentially serious charge for her. And she said that it was not intended to be. She denies the allegations that it was a public sex act. Her lawyer says people who ride on the Ferris wheel believe they have an expectation of privacy in the individual cars.
What?
And they didn't think or know that anyone else could see them from the other cars. So he's trying to get the public aspect of the sex dismissed. That's a reasonable argument, by the way. Like they said, I mean, even in that Skype interview, the man involved in the sex said, hey, once we got up to the highest point on the Ferris wheel, we thought we were golden because there's nobody on either side of them that can look in. So I don't know. They may win this one. But, they got a great Vegas story, don't they? Everyone involved in this story has got a great Vegas story.
It's unbelievable that she went and bailed them out. And they're in the car Skyping while they're driving. Hey, sorry about that. Yeah.
And she's still pregnant with another dude's baby.
That is correct. We haven't figured out how they're going to address that. But, yeah, that is still the case. Okay. So, all right, let's talk to Joy. go to line four, please, Highland Park. Get the call started here. I know our listeners, we do this topic every couple of years, and our listeners do not fail to impress us. 1-800-520-1067. Joel, they did it on a Ferris wheel in Las Vegas. Where did you do it?
In a cemetery, actually.
In a cemetery. All right. Was it an instant reaction that you didn't see coming, or did you plan to go there and have sex in the cemetery?
I don't think it was initially planned, but I had a girlfriend that lived next to a cemetery, and we'd just go and stroll around, and one day we found a little private area and just kind of take care of business right there.
Which cemetery was it? It was in L.A., right?
Yeah, this is the Forest Lawn in Glendale.
Oh.
And just in case their family is listening, whose grave were you on?
Oh, don't do it.
No, we made sure to steer clear of anybody's grave. I didn't want to be like literally on top of somebody.
You know, I'm almost a little bit, you were literally on top of somebody, but I'm a little bit surprised by this just because for many people, a cemetery is a very unsexy place. So I'm a little bit surprised that you both were down for this.
Hey, man, when the mood strikes, you just got to go for it, right?
Right?
You ain't telling
I guess
me,
so.
Right?
All right, thank you. Let's go to Joe, line one, please, La Mirada. He's got one that's kind of similar to the Ferris wheel.
Hey, Joseph.
How's it going?
Good.
Good. Yeah, it was back when my now wife and I were dating, and a little drinks in the parking lot at the San Diego Zoo, and that mood hit us when we were up in the SkyTram overlooking the whole zoo.
SkyTram, Dad.
All right.
Hold on. You were pre-partying before you went into the zoo?
Absolutely, don't you?
That's awesome.
You can't believe how hilarious the elephants are, Allie, if you're really, really baked.
Wow.
So on these sky trams, are you by yourself up there? Just the two of you?
Yeah. There were no kids around or anything.
So no one saw you?
Not that I'm aware of.
I bet that doesn't happen anymore now that you're married, does it?
I'm not talking about that.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Joe. Appreciate the call. All right. We got some great calls on the line, but we got room for yours as well. 1-800-520-1067. Where'd you do it? We'll take your calls next on K-Rock. Talking about a man and a woman who met in Las Vegas a few days ago and that very night had sex together on a Ferris wheel high above the strip. And we're taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067 about the unusual places that you guys have done it. From the 805, texting in to the number 2 K-Rock, I had sex in a chemistry lab when I was working on my master's degree with an undergraduate. We did it on the table periodically. No, I won't take it back.
I appreciate it.
You're Kevin and Bean. My crazy place to have sex was in a Greyhound bus station restroom.
Sexy. That's sexy.
Didn't plan on it, but she was game. Is that the last place you should have sex is in a Greyhound bus station restroom, right? All right, let's take some calls. 1-800-520-1067. Where do you want to start, Kim? We got a good batch here.
Let's talk to Michelle first in Northridge. Hi, Michelle.
Hi. How are you?
Good, thank you. You had sex where?
In a baseball dugout.
In a baseball dugout?
Yep.
During a game?
During a game?
No, the game was over. He was a baseball player, and we've been dating for a while, and he forgot something, so we went back for him to check it out, and there you have it. One thing led to another in a baseball dugout.
Wasn't that in Fast Times at Ridgemont High, too? Weren't they in the dugout?
No, I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, I did.
Good pull there, Allie. All right, thank you for the call, Michelle. Appreciate that. Let's go to Christina, line two, please, Huntington Beach.
All right, Christina, hi.
Hi, guys.
Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. Where did you do it?
On the side of the road against a car on the way to Mammoth, and it was freezing, and we left the door open on accident, so the dome light was on, so probably everybody driving by.
Big size dome light.
So this was at night?
Yeah, it was early. It was probably like 4 in the morning, so there weren't that many people driving by.
Oh, okay.
So.
No, it's been a long time for me, but wouldn't there be shrinkage? Because if it's that cold...
Not with my man.
Congratulations,
look at that.
Christina.
All right. Now, I have to ask, Christina, why didn't you just do it in the car? Wouldn't that have been so much warmer for you guys?
Well, it was a stick shift, and it's a small car. It was, no, I have to do you right now. We're pulling over. I'm like, okay. So it was just, in the snow, freezing, and we still talk about it to this day.
Out of a dead sleep, Christina's like, let's do it.
Christina's a goer.
Yeah. All right. Thank you for the call. Speaking of cars, let's go to line six, please. This is Molly in Alhambra. She also has a car story, but hers sounds even more terrifying, if you can believe it. Hey, Molly.
Hey. Well, unlike Christina, we didn't have the good idea of pulling over, so we decided that while we were driving on the 405, why not just go ahead and climb on top of him.
On the 405,
going 90 miles an hour, because it was the one time there was no traffic on the 405.
Why was he going 90 miles an hour then?
Well, you know, it's happy hour. We were in a rush to get home, and apparently I couldn't wait. And so he maintained his speed, and because my butt was honking the horn the whole way, he was getting lots of thumbs up from whichever other drivers were able to see us. So, you know, it's always a good
story.
Your
butt was hitting the horn.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
All right. Thank you for the call, Molly. Dear Kevin and Bean, Ray writes in, maybe it's not so public, but me and my girlfriend one time were at Staples Center watching a Lakers game and got the feeling that we get, so we went in search of a bathroom that locks. We found one. We did the deed, and then we just wandered around, not really interested in the game that much anymore. We came to find out that was the night that Kobe scored 81 points. We were there and had no idea it happened. Seems like a waste of a good Laker ticket, doesn't it? All right, let's try, hey, let's go to Reese in L.A. This story in Las Vegas was a Ferris wheel. She's got a roller coaster. I want to hear about that. Reese.
I'm a guy.
Hey, Reese.
Hi, Reese.
Hey, so, yeah, I used to, back in the day, I used to work at Magic Mountain, and with what turns out to be my son's mother now, and we were on the opening crew of Viper, and we used to go up to the top of the lift at night and do the deed.
On the Viper? Again, the roller coaster just seems like there would be so many distractions going on with how fast you're moving already, you know?
Well, no. See, at this point, the park was closed, and because we worked there, we had to cycle the trains at night and get all the cars off.
Oh, so you could stop it wherever you want, and there was no one around.
So we could take our little time, sweet time going up to the top, take back, relax, enjoy the scenery for a little bit, and it was good times up there.
Thank you, Reese. Appreciate the call. Let's go to line four. Rick is in Simi Valley. He's up next on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Rick.
Good morning, Kevin and Bean. Hey, listen, so I grew up with four friends, and we would always see who could have sex at the weirdest places. I think between the four, and I would say is I was at a family quinceañera, and I was on the hood of the car while everybody's walking around. My girlfriend had a skirt on with no underwear, and we were just sitting there having sex. Well, everybody's walking around. They had no clue.
No one knew.
What's that?
No one knew?
No. Well, you know what? I was young. And you know what? When you're older now that I think about it, they were probably some pervs like me who probably figured out what we were doing. You know?
I do have to applaud you, though, because that's very appropriate behavior for a guest at a 15-year-old's birthday party.
Attention diabetics. Is your blood sugar out of control? Nobedi's may help dramatically lower your blood sugar.
My name is Kirsten. I'm a type 1 diabetic, and while taking Nobedi's, my blood sugar levels dropped from 295 to 115 in just one day. I love Nobedi's because it's an all-natural product, and it works.
While Nobedi's isn't intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease, it's helped lower many diabetics' blood sugar. Call now for two free bottles. Just pay shipping and handling. 800-476-8198. That's 800-476-8198.
You know, and
we were
having.
Sure.
It was quite a treat. So.
Yeah, we appreciate you explaining to us how sex works. Thank you very much for the call. All right, let's go to Scott in Agoura Hills. He's line 2. Now, I know we already talked to somebody who had sex in a cemetery, but Scott is bringing an additional detail to it. Scott, you're on the air. Go ahead, sir.
Hey, man. Yeah, Hollywood Cemetery on Bela Lugosi's grave.
Bela Lugosi's grave.
Why on Bela Lugosi's grave? Like, what was the turn on for one of you?
Well, it was a big raised up grave and flat surface.
Okay. Did you just happen to be in the cemetery, or did you go there for that purpose?
We used to go there all the time to have sex and party.
And why, I mean, was it just because physically it was a comfortable big space, or is there something about the fact that it was a famous movie monster that kind of turned you guys on? Like, is there a particular attraction to Bela Lugosi?
For sure. Definitely a fan of Bela Lugosi. It had to be done.
Yeah. Well, there's no way to prove you're a fan. Desecrating his grave.
It had to be done, Bean.
It did have to be done. All right, let's do one more, and let's make it our man Bobby, please. He is in Anaheim on line 7. He'll be get the final word here. Hey, Bobby.
Hey, good morning, guys. Good morning, Allie.
Good morning.
What? Where?
I was performing as one of the Santa Clauses at a Southern California theme park. And ended up dating, or I guess you can call it.
And the kid was so surprised. Oh, all right, we know how this story ends.
Oh, no, Bobby, say it's not
come
so.
On, Bean,
come on, Bean.
No,
what happened?
I ended up dating for a little while one of the Santa Delpers, and on one of the breaks, she had kind of a fantasy of doing it with Santa.
Who doesn't?
And our break area was also kind of looked like the Santa's workshop. So literally mere feet away from where kids were frolicking and playing, Santa and his helper were frolicking and playing.
Does this sound at all sexy to you guys?
This one, Santa Claus?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, all right.
I mean, yes.
Thanks for the call.
I think I'm in. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 8:51.
He is the co-creator, one of the writers, and one of the stars of Togetherness, returning this Sunday night on HBO. Actor Steve Zissou joins us in studio coming up right after the top of the hour, along with your tickets to go see The Cure at the Hollywood Bowl. Hey, Ralph Garman, what's going on with you?
Hey, boys and girls. Speaking of tickets, still tickets available for tonight's Hollywood Babylon at the Improv on Melrose. Kevin Smith and I will take the stage after a couple, just a week off. So we're returning to the Improv. We love it there. And you can come out and see us 10 p.m. tonight at the Improv on Melrose. And Rhett Reese, one of the writers of Deadpool, will be joining us at the top of the show just to talk a little bit about his $200 million movie.
Nope.
I've known that guy for like 15 years.
Yeah.
It's so great to see nice people who are good friends have good things happen to them. And this is a game changer, this movie. I'm saying, well, we're going to see a lot of R-rated superhero movies now. And they're completely missing out on what makes that movie great. It's not about the R rating so much as it is great writing, great performances.
Wang.
Don't forget that. Mm. It's tonight at 10 p.m. Go to improv.com. This came across my desk this morning. I thought it was appropriate to give it a mention, sort of an anniversary of sorts. Adrian Venegas writes in, my Facebook memories just told me that it's been 4 years to the day since Kevin the Drunkie song first debuted on the Kevin and Bean Show. You guys should play it again. And I thought, it's been a while since we heard that song, and it's awesome.
It's 3.5 minutes long, though, Ralph. I mean, that seems like a long time, right?
But aren't you worth it, Kevin?
No, I'm not.
I think to celebrate the anniversary of this, it's worth it.
I don't know that it's accurate.
I think we could sit back, relax, and enjoy Kevin the Drunkie.
Talk about.
Time's a-wasting.
So what, he sounds drunk.
All right, back to you, Ralph.
Come on.
What's he talking about? Man, he sounds crappy. Kevin's a big-headed drunkie.
You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on the world-famous K-Rock, 106.7 K-R-O-K. You got a special guest to talk to about it. It's like you catch a fish in a lake, and you put it out on the ground and just like flops around on the ground completely. It's like a fish out of water is what it's like.
Now, he's not going to want to spend much time with all those other boys in their room come pretty here a couple years.
We've got to get to the bottom of what in the hell is going on with this Blue Man group. These guys, they paint their faces red.
Now, Monday morning, we have an all-new Kevin and Bean Show. We bring
And how often have you used it?
Did you know that going into when you started on the second office, when you were on the outside office, not the one main one?
Where is your...
So what, he sounds drunk. So what, he can't speak. Maybe he's dumb. He's special needs. What's he talking about? Man, he sounds crappy. Kevin's a big-headed drunkie.
When you roast E-Fiesta 2007.
Oh, my God.
I saw him as a what do you call him?
I don't
know. Color commentary? By the way, just for the movie theaters, all site, all do not, there's no all that, there's not, it's not a hard one, but if you heard it, but it is the way you heard it.
Is that, so he doesn't, are you a regular Duck fan? Will you watch all the time him?
Yeah.
not even an accident. I mean, it's not even, you don't do it on purpose. You also don't make accidents. You have to do it like they say.
Yes.
And you see these sites you never knew existed, but they're right up here. And it just, hours.
But the photo shoot really looked good.
So what, he sounds drunk. So what, he can't speak. Maybe he's dumb. He's special needs.
Oh, come on.
What's he talking about? Man, he sounds crappy. Kevin's a big-headed drunky.
Now that's par for the cake. For the course.
I got it.
I don't know. That's a toss-up.
You need
the disadvantage in this story.
When good men fail to stand up, bad yes. triumphs, or whatever that is.
We need an update for when the book comes out on DVD.
What did you do?
Are you here to protect us? Not hot?
That song is over, and now we will speak. It's the Kevin and Beecher on the world famous K-Rock.
I need to do the Dave plan next time.
I'm not drunk.
We owe every one of you that listens to the show a great debt of gratitude. I don't think that's what I meant to say.
So what, he sounds drunk. So what, he can't speak. Maybe he's dumb. He's special needs. What's he talking about? Man, he sounds crappy. Kevin's a big-headed drunkie.
The great Al Pacino. Good morning.
What?
I don't know what this is.
This is Sean Connery talking about curling.
Sorry. Well said, Kevin.
I miss that dude. No. He was a good guy. He was on the show for a lot of years.
Yeah, he's not dying. We will miss him. So.
I think Kevin is doing exactly as well as anyone might have expected someone like him to perform in a position like that.
Rest in peace.
He definitely left quite a legacy behind, sure though, didn't he?
It's weird to see people jump from I'm not positive what the answer is to it must be, infallible word of God or, in terrorist situations or UFOs.
Right.
You go, it's unidentified, so it must be alien. You go, no. It's just maybe a question that we'll never know the answer to.
We'll never know the answer, that's for sure.
What is it about Kevin that makes you love him?
He's so simple.
Yeah. It's the best.
4 years. Thank you to that listener.
Thank you,
us off for that anniversary. We appreciate
the heads up.
It.
F you, Adrian. Son of a bitch.
Here's some breaking news. Shia LaBeouf has a new art installation up and running. You know, he's an artist.
Yeah.
Performance art is his specialty, is his milieu, if you will.
Now he's the guy who last year had that booth in L.A. where you could go in and talk to him, but he was wearing a paper bag on his head.
It was a couple years ago that started.
A couple years ago, okay.
He would apologize to you and just take whatever you wanted to say to him. He would just sit there.
He cried.
Right.
He cried a lot, and you could hit him with a whip and stuff. Remember that one girl tried to have sex with him? That was great.
I didn't really.
And then he also did another art installation recently where he sat there watching all of his movies, and you just watched his face as he watched his movies.
Right. And that was for 24
hours,
right?
Yeah. Yes.
Wow.
This new live stream of Shia LaBeouf is another 24-hour performance art project. Hashtag elevated. It is Shia LaBeouf riding in an elevator for 24 hours.
Okay.
So he's on an elevator. As of this morning, he is there. And people will get in and out of the elevator, on and off. And he will remain in the elevator.
Now, when I went there, you could hear him talking, but it was like from his, you could only see the doors that were closed.
Well, that's what it is. It's him looking out. It's his vantage point of people who get in and out of the elevator
for
24 hours.
And what does that teach us or prove or what do we learn?
Oh, it's
art.
I'm sorry.
It's art.
You're so literal-minded. You're such a philistine. Why don't you open up your mind and your soul to art?
I don't get it.
It's about the people coming in and out of our lives and how they change us.
Isn't life a series of ups and downs?
Yes, Ralph.
Okay.
And it's only the people that we meet throughout those journeys that actually truly affect us.
Yeah.
We're in a small box of our own making, and yet occasionally those doors open and we allow in new experiences and people.
Preach.
And the terrorist, terrorist situation.
Situation.
Open up a blog.
That's part of it.
Actual cannibal Shia LaBeouf.
Dave was monitoring it, and he said, he's talking about if the elevator crashed and he jumped up, would he survive? It's like, well, that's what happens when you're there for 24 hours. You're gonna run out of material.
We've all thought that, by the way. Don't you think everybody has had that thought?
Absolutely, I have.
That if you timed the jump at the exact moment the elevator hit the bottom of the shaft,
you're fine. You'd be fine. Absolutely.
Fine, yes. You realize what? That's madness.
Yeah, it doesn't work. It can't work.
Well, why would anyone think of that?
Until you think it through, it sounds like it would make sense. Like that's your last ditch effort to save yourself. But then you realize, yeah, but your body is still traveling that distance down, so it's not going to work.
It's not about distance, it's about speed. You can't counter the speed of the elevator plummeting
exactly.
by jumping with your puny legs.
But I'm saying we've all had the idea
no,
that
I
it
haven't.
Would work,
it's
though.
Dumb.
Oh, come on.
It's dumb.
Thank when you, Bean. I feel so much better about myself now.
Everyone has had that idea.
Wrong. I thought about dropping some fine china down an elevator shaft. I thought about that. I mean, how horrible that would be, that accident. We've all thought about that. When you drop some stemware down an elevator shaft, right? We've all considered that.
I think I did
accident.
Say that one time, and I can't explain that. But yeah. All right, so Shia's talking about whether he could jump up and survive an elevator crash. What else is he talking about for 24 hours with these people?
A hippo is the animal he would choose to be.
Oh,
because they're docile creatures that can also be vicious. So he's talking about that.
Okay.
All right.
He'd like to see the movie Legend. That's at the top of his list. He's talking about movies he hasn't seen yet that he'd like to see.
Okay.
So.
Sounds like a good time.
Go on over there and enjoy that.
And he's got a wooden hand, if I remember correctly.
No, Kevin, it's a different actor. Today's celebrity birthdays, actor Jeff Daniels is 61 years old today. Singer Seal turns 53. Benicio del Toro just recently added to the new Star Wars film, 49 years old. Haley Duff getting a lot of heated debate between the Duffs. Everybody picking a Duff. I had no idea I'd open up this can of worms. There's a big Duff beef going on Twitter right now, yeah. Most people seem to be wanting Hillary. Hillary is in the lead with most choices.
She's definitely a little more high profile.
And she's a little more classically pretty, I guess you would say. But I think Haley's got an earthiness about her.
I agree. I'm totally Team Haley.
Earthiness?
Yeah.
What does that mean?
She's like, right?
Like granola? Or she's a hippie?
I smell a hippie when you say earthiness.
Yeah, what does earthiness mean?
Yep. Just like...
Straight hippie.
Just not sort of as... A little more grounded, not quite as prim and proper as Hillary can come off at times. Haley seems like she's more sort of a...
Oh, anal?
No, stop it. You're ruining everything.
Sorry. Hippies, I mean, period.
She's not a hippies.
Hippie. Been saying that my whole life.
I didn't say
been
she
saying
smelled
it till I
like the earth.
Hippies.
I just said she's earthy. You ever heard someone being earthy, grounded, more relaxed, more morally casual?
That was quite a leap.
Haley's 31 years old today, and actress Victoria Justice celebrates her 23rd birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Do you remember when we did the end of the year list and our favorite shows?
Oh, I'm going to suck up to the guest, so he likes me the best.
Do you guys remember what mine was? Do you guys remember?
Oh, I'm the only person who knows about Togetherness on HBO, so Steve's going to love me.
Do you remember my favorite?
Allie, you're embarrassing.
You're
embarrassing.
You're awful.
I'm actually
mean.
Feeling a sense of Togetherness in this room.
Are you?
Are you now? Ladies and gentlemen, he is the co-creator of HBO's Togetherness, returning for season number 2 this Sunday night. Please welcome Steve Zissis, who joins us on the show. Also, one of the co-stars of the show, one of the writers of the show. We had Mark in, your cohort in crime, Mark Duplass, in at the beginning of the last season. So it's a thrill to have you in, Steve. Welcome, sir.
Thank you so much. I love Mark. He's so handsome.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's a handsome man.
Yeah, he's done well with his face area.
Yeah, he's done a good face.
Yeah.
What? Tell me about, because I'm always fascinated with the idea. Look, you're doing a romantic comedy, basically, that also has drama, but it's there have been a million shows that feature that wide description. What was the conversation that you guys had that made you realize that there was a lane open for you to do something we hadn't seen before in this area?
Yeah, I mean... Actually, to be honest, a lot of what we're doing isn't new in terms of plot, but I just think it's the how and how in what we're doing. You know, the push and pull of Amanda and I's character, for example, within the romantic comedy framework, we're really going deeper into sort of the small, awkward emotions of that entire experience. And I just think we show it in a new way.
I think so, too. And I love Amanda Peet. She's so great on the show. Now, she plays a character named Tina who let's face it, she has a great deal of affection for your character, Alex, but I think she's afraid to admit it. Like, she feels like she can do better, even though she secretly really, really digs you, right?
Yes, that's part of the push and pull. But
I feel like that's most women. Right? I should be able to do better.
Most women just settle. Let's be honest, Steve, right?
Absolutely. I mean, there's a bit of a Beauty and the Beast thing going on in season one with me and Amanda's character, for sure.
I know you say that, but your character is so nice and so likable and so thoughtful that I think you get better looking as the season goes on because we fall in love
totally.
With your guy.
Because you know? He's funny, he's charming, but then you don't want your heart to hurt. You're like, no, Alex. Don't. Why don't you see it? Is it just me yelling at the TV?
Probably,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's
right.
Probably. I actually heard you yelling in that episode.
Thank you.
Yeah,
thank you
it.
For listening.
Through the TV.
Thank you.
So we kind of had a little bit of a cliffhanger with your plot line, and then I definitely do want to talk about what's going on with Mark and Melanie's characters, too, because they're so great. But if I remember correctly, so Amanda Peet hooks up with Peter Gallagher's character, Larry.
Yes.
And he just seems like, for any woman, like, if you're A-B-ing the two guys in her life,
yeah,
Peter Gallagher is freaking Peter Gallagher, right?
Yeah, absolutely. His eyebrows are amazing.
His eyebrows have amazing eyebrows. Rich.
It's like two
and
caterpillars
you...
just going in for the kiss. Nice.
And your character, Alex, is a struggling actor who gets a big break at the end of the season and gets a job opportunity to go film a movie in New Orleans. And
yeah.
I think we actually have a scene of you trying to talk Amanda Peet's character, Tina, into coming with you.
Oh, no.
Come
God,
with
me. To
me. You can do whatever
no,
you want in New Orleans.
I don't go to New Orleans. This is where I'm meant to be.
No,
this
no,
is
no,
what
no,
I'm
no.
meant
you're,
to be.
You're
doing.
Not meant
I'm
to
with
be
Larry.
Here.
I
know you're with Larry, but you
it?
Don't love Larry.
Lower your voice.
So what are you going to do? Retire and swim in Larry's pool and walk his dog for the rest of your life?
You're saying like that because you're jealous. So you're making it sound like so bad.
I am but not jealous
not
of
bad.
Larry. I don't want to be
what
Larry.
Are you doing here, then?
I want to be me with you.
Whoa. Oh.
Oh, God.
God.
That breaks my heart.
You should want to be Larry, though.
No, he shouldn't with that dog. And he's annoying. No.
Maybe a little
no.
jealous. A little jealous.
No.
What?
No.
You know,
Team Alex.
It kind of reminds me of the 90s movie Indecent Proposal with
mm-hmm.
like
yes.
Robert Redford. It's making me think about the Woody Harrelson Robert Redford dynamic in that movie. Do y'all remember that one?
When he was
yeah,
going to pay to have sex with...
With Demi Moore.
Yeah, but Demi Moore kind of like eventually gets wooed by this amazing Robert Redford character, but then ultimately her heart's with Woody Harrelson. Anyway, that just popped in
so
my
are
head.
You Woody Harrelson or are you...
I'm definitely Woody Harrelson in this movie.
Talk a little bit about, I know that you and the Duplass brothers, you went to high school together, you've known them forever, so that chemistry right there with Mark is just built in and amazing. But the audition process, I understand, with Amanda, everyone saw it within a second.
Yeah, we saw a lot of people for the role of Tina and a lot of great actresses, but when Amanda came in the room, there was just sort of this electricity. And I think when she first auditioned with us, I was reading with her, she started throwing peanuts at me.
Sure.
She found,
like you do.
She found a bag of peanuts in the audition room, just grabbed them, and then started hurling them at my face in the middle of the audition.
Is that an African courting custom that I'm unfamiliar with? Or
strange.
Well, I was a lot fatter at the time, so she could have thought I was an elephant. But
did you catch them in your mouth?
I did.
That'd be romantic.
I caught three in my hand and then started juggling them.
Okay.
But but. The chemistry was tangible when she came in the room, and we were like, oh, yeah, that's Tina.
And she is – I had no idea how funny she was. Oh. She is – she kills me.
Yeah.
Every episode, she is so dang funny.
She's so good, and she's also heartbreaking, too, because she has this sort of tough, badass exterior, but she sort of, you know, has this little girl vulnerability at the same time.
It's the best show ever, you guys.
Speaking of, I heard it was your favorite of last season. Speaking of vulnerable, Steve, what was the most embarrassing day on set for you filming togetherness? Because you do have some, I think your shirt's off sometimes. And
yeah.
I think there's some sexy time happening.
Do you call it sexy time, first of all?
In the script? Is that...
Sure, I use sexy time.
You don't have to say that.
which day comes to mind as, wow, I can't, because I know what Mark's was. I know his, that love scene with him, was, we'll never forget. But what was yours?
I guess when I was wearing nothing but women's Spanx.
Oh, Spanx, yes.
In season one, that was sort of a vulnerable position to be in. It was very unflattering.
Well, for women, it's not flattering, so I can't imagine men.
Yeah. It was not a good look for me. Yeah.
All right. While we're bringing people up to speed so that they can tune into Togetherness if they've not yet seen it, Sunday night at 10:30 on HBO, where are we on Mark and Melanie's wonderful characters, Brett and Michelle?
Wow. So basically we've gone deep into their marriage. And the first season, if you've seen it, you realize it sort of cliffhangs at the end with I don't want to give it away in case you haven't seen the first season, but it's basically a marriage that's on the brink of falling apart. So season two, we're going to explore sort of the state of their marriage. I'm trying not to give anything away, and I can't articulate.
All right, I can help you. I can help you, Steve. Mark has had a wake-up call and realized, I need to be more invested in this marriage, and I'm going to start doing things right, and I'm going to show my wife immediately I mean it, and I feel it, and I love her. Meanwhile, Melanie Lynskey, who's so wonderful on the show, she has come to the opposite conclusion, which is just like, there's got to be more than what's going on in this marriage, and I'm going to take some steps that maybe are that you can't come back from.
And he might be driving to her at the point where she is really driving away from him into the arms maybe of someone else.
That was a hell of a cliffhanger.
Oh,
that was like, no!
It's so tragic.
Steve, I watched it 100 times.
You help write it, but I think Bean and Allie did your whole job right
there. Yeah, really.
Well done, y'all. Well done.
Yeah. How do you keep up? And I don't know anything about acting. I'm not in show business, but you have to help me understand this. How
Wait,
you
this
keep
is
up...
kind of like show business.
Oh, yeah. No, it's not really. The lowest of all possible ones. But how do you keep up the blistering pace of coming up with 8 30-minute episodes for a season? What goes into that?
There's a little magical writer gnome that writes everything for us.
That's cool.
His name is Andrew.
All right.
No, we have a great writer's room. Mark, Jay, our editor, Jay Doobie, and two amazing professional female writers.
But you only work 45 minutes a day?
I feel like Bean's asking for more.
Yeah, I'm saying 8 episodes.
That's what's happening here.
That's not a lot of TV, Steve.
It's not that much, but I think it's great because it's so easy to binge, you know?
Back to you, Bean. All right.
What do you think
that answered? Togetherness, 10:30, Sunday night, HBO. Anything else you want to tell us about this upcoming season? Any last-second pitch for why people need to tune in?
I don't want to give anything away, but there may be a Blake Griffin cameo in season 2.
All right.
I'm totally kidding. That was a joke. Sorry. That was just a callback to something we were talking about.
Here. Yeah, we can't trust you with anything.
Can I just say this because it's radio and people can't see you, Steve?
Yeah.
You look like you've lost 40 pounds.
I've dropped some LBs, yeah.
Is that part of the storyline coming up? Because you get a movie role, you're going to New Orleans. Does that have something to do with it?
For sure, yeah. So over the course of the first season, Tina's kind of becomes Alex's trainer, and he's trying to lose weight so he can get out of the sort of, you know, lovable loser sort of type that he's in terms of an actor. So, yeah, the LBs dropping are on purpose.
Okay.
Well, you look great, and we're huge fans of the show, and
thanks
we're very
so much.
Excited to see its return, and it's nice of you to stop by, man. Thank you so much.
Great. Thank you for having me.
You bet. Congratulations to Evelyn Sanchez from Ontario. Thank you so much for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show this morning. You are going to see The Cure at the Hollywood Bowl and are eligible for the grand prize drawing we do Monday morning just after 7 o'clock to see The Cure in Rome. That's the World Tour 2016, destination number 4. Get your details at krock.com.
Ralph plays a Bean desk.
You know it.
106.7. K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 9:42.
All that Juilliard money wasn't wasted.
Guys, I'm trying to pretend that I'm having fun and playing along, but God called me an asshole.
Well,
that stings, man. That's coming from God.
Yeah.
I think he knows.
Do you own a mirror?
That has caused me to reevaluate something. Yeah, no kidding, right?
Yes.
That's hurtful. I didn't know God was hurtful.
Well, he's truthful.
You should read the Old Testament, man. God, I guess so. Effed up stuff back in the day.
I thought we were past all that. I thought we were just having fun.
He was smoting left and right.
He did do some smoting.
Oh, a lot of smoting.
Anyway, it is Friday morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 9:43, and we do have time for one more look at the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Yeah, sad news this morning when we heard about the passing of Harper Lee. American icon. Kevin Harper Lee, of course, was...
I don't know.
The writer of... The writer. The Harper Lee was the writer
Harper
of...
Harper Lee was the writer of DC Comics. Of all of them.
No. Nope.
Is that correct,
Harper
Ralph?
Harper did not write all of DC Comics.
Hold on a second, Ralph. Kevin's kidding with not knowing who Harper Lee is, though, right?
As an English major.
No, you did get
as
a
an
English,
in English major.
You went to college and got a degree in?
In English.
English.
Okay. Yeah, that happened.
So that would involve reading some books, I would assume, at some point.
Right.
Okay.
Perhaps she wrote one of the most well-known books ever written.
I was going to say maybe the most famous work of fiction in American history, maybe?
For sure.
I would say it's got to be in the running.
Certainly one of the most acclaimed novels of
all time. 50 Shades of Grey.
No?
Nope.
This would be one of the most acclaimed novels of all time and then made into one of the most acclaimed movies of all time. So this famous book is called...
On the Waterfront.
Nope.
Kevin, goddammit.
What if we gave him some hints
Green
with
Green Eggs and Ham.
No, that would be Dr. Seuss.
Oh, okay.
Not the answer we're looking for, Dr. Seuss.
What about the name Scout?
Oh, there you go.
Here's the thing. I don't care. So you guys
try
you
are awful.
You want, but I'm not interested.
Kevin, goddamn it.
Harper Lee, a one-time unknown writer from Alabama, wrote a legendary story about racial injustice in the American South, Kevin.
Right.
Does that give you a clue?
No. Atticus Finch. Nothing?
I don't...
Sorry, To Kill a Mockingbird. To Kill a Mockingbird was the answer we were looking for. Thanks for playing the game, Kevin. We do have some lovely parting gifts for you, including the home version of the Kevin Bean Show.
I don't want that. That's bad enough.
Nobody
here.
Does. That's why we're trying to get rid of them. That's why we're giving them away. Yeah, To Kill a Mockingbird.
Yeah,
was the work of Harper Lee. Mm-hmm.
Do you remember that book though?
Not at all. No. Does it sound familiar to you at all?
The title. I mean, you've heard the title. Does it spark some?
Here's the thing. The book or the movie
recognition.
But here's the thing that's fascinating to me is that you guys think I'm joking when I say I don't care.
But
no,
even if you
that,
don't care.
Okay.
But you know where the book.
You've lived, though. You live on the planet.
Lived,
you exist in America. Mm-hmm. At some point, you were awake
and
during
sure,
the American history.
And I'm sure at some point I knew what that was, but I don't now and I don't care. Because I'm a kid.
Don't watch the news. Because I'm a kid.
It's nothing with news.
I just think you're terrific.
Thank you.
People just even talking about it. Just this people around you. Through osmosis, you would have to absorb some knowledge of some things, wouldn't you?
Still
that's something else right there, man.
Right?
Atticus Finch, of course. Tom Robinson.
Kevin, I've had it.
Scout, the story's narrator, based on her own experience of being a
asshole.
Daughter of the South.
Right.
Then it went on to star a huge movie starring the legendary actor, Kevin. Famous, one of the great movies of all time.
John Wayne.
No, it was not John Wayne. Atticus Finch was portrayed by...
John Wayne.
Again, no.
Ferguson.
Gregory Peck. Gregory Peck.
Gregory Peck.
Played in the film version.
Just a lot of words that I don't care about. That's what I know.
Kevin, right now, is only thinking about what time Deadpool starts.
That's true.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Anyway, she passed away at the age of 89.
We will miss her. You in particular.
Some of us will. Anybody read Ghost Set of Watchmen? The sequel? Anybody?
I just heard too many awful things about it. And it sounded like it was a first draft.
Terrible. Yes, and it wasn't what she intended, and they released it anyway. It sounded like
I felt like they released it because she had dementia or something, and they made her sign something, is what it seemed like. The whole thing seemed icky.
Very fishy.
Yeah.
Remember that, Kevin?
Remember that big controversy?
Holy crap.
When the sequel was released not too long ago?
This is just torturous.
For you.
Holy
being us.
Crap.
Imagine
well,
being
move
us.
On. You're in charge of moving on. Do
Kevin,
that.
What is your favorite book?
You know what? That's like saying to a fireman who's putting down a burning skyscraper and he's got a hose and he's just trying to
put the fire out.
And you're like, whatever. Just let it burn. Just move
on.
It's
not the same thing.
Get back in your red truck, sir. Get your Dalmatian and be on your way. It's what you're saying to the fireman.
At least the red truck makes some louds.
I'm trying to extinguish the fires of ignorance.
Oh, my God. He's
Kevin,
sitting
just sat
now.
Down. It's a sit-in. Kevin is protesting the show.
This is terrible.
Oh, my God.
Move on.
He's a child.
He's going to hold his breath next.
By the way, his gum flew out of his mouth.
He's going to eat some worms.
Oh, Kevin.
Vinyl, TV series on HBO, has been picked up for a second season just after the premiere of the first season. That's how good it is.
Right.
The show, which was created in part by Mick Jagger and Martin Scorsese, stars Bobby Cannavale, who I just love. He's just terrific.
He's great in this, too. You'll love
He's
him.
Great in everything.
And this is so your era, Ralph. You always are nostalgic for being born a little bit too late to be in that era of just rock and roll, balls to the walls, sex, drugs, and rock and roll.
So much cocaine.
So much cocaine. Mountains,
so good.
Right?
Yeah.
Unless
these are your people.
No.
Come back.
You're out.
Hi.
Olivia Wilde, Ray Romano, of course, also star in the show. And it's just, congratulations.
A lot of great music in it, too.
I saw Bobby Cannavale in Glengarry Glen Ross on Broadway.
Wow.
With Al Pacino and Richard Schiff. And it was just this insane amount of talent. But he was... If you think he's good on film, you should see him live. Just blew me away.
He can do anything.
He can.
He was great on Nurse Jackie. He was great on Boardwalk Empire. He's great on everything.
Why don't we have him on?
I'd love that.
Well, get us a producer. Doesn't sleep till noon. We'll see what happens.
We're trying to find one.
You're wondering where the guests are. We got one guy asleep. The other guy's setting off smoke detectors with his poops.
What kind of
organization are we running here?
You know what kind of an organization we're running here, Ralph.
This is a sitcom. This is a sitcom. This entire production is
not
just
my fault.
A sitcom.
The listeners are insisting we bring back Kevin Adlibs the News, by the way.
Well,
that's been
course.
Too long, maybe, since we've been
I think we just played a little version there, too.
It was entertaining for all of us.
Great until he sat down like a baby.
I'm going to sit here. I don't want to play.
What a dull group you guys are.
To Kill a Mockingbird. That's a book that everyone knows. Today's celebrity birthdays, Victoria Justice. 23 years old today. She, of course, Kevin, was a star of the hit series.
I got nothing.
No!
What?
Come on! Victorious, of course, was the name of that.
I can't argue with Kevin's decision either, though.
23 years old today. Haley Duff, sister of Hillary. The legendary Duff sisters.
Who won the battle, Ralph?
Hillary. Hillary won the battle.
Hillary won the battle, okay.
Not by landslide, but by a significant margin. A lot of people saying Haley isn't nearly as attractive as Hillary, and that may be classically true in the sense that maybe, you know, just a pretty face in a picture. But I'm telling you.
There's something about her.
Haley's
she definitely
got
has
quality.
That something.
She's,
I agree.
You know, she's the girl you meet at the bar, and you're going to have a good time. Things are going to happen. You're probably going to steal a car. You might knock over a liquor store. I mean, adventures will happen with Haley. Hillary, she's lovely.
She's not going to steal a car?
I'm sure a pleasant evening would be had with Hillary, but Haley's going to give you stories you can tell your friends about. Benicio del Toro is 49 years old today. Singer Seal is 53. Of course, Seal's probably biggest hit, Kevin, I think, would have to be his big hit, Seal's hit.
I don't know his song.
Okay. 53. You're not playing, huh?
I'm
just not playing.
It's Friday. This is from your life as an adult.
Kevin's already home.
Just dull.
But we played those songs on K-Rock.
The Seal songs that Ralph's talking about.
We played
dull.
On K-Rock.
The common shared experience of mankind is not dull, Kevin. There's more to the world than what's in your head.
Thank God.
there's not much more in space than there's in your head. That's Seal's head, finally. And actor Jeff Daniels, 61 years old today.
Show could not end fast enough for you today, could it, Kevin?
Woo! Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Yeah!
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over.
ass bitch.
Just like the other one.
Daddy likey.
This one seems to be about to quit.
Stop the solo.
And I need another hit.
Good was the Grammys. I loved it.
I enjoyed it, man.
How good was LL Cool J? What a hustle.
Did you see when he did this?
Oh!
He licked his lips.
Greatest moment of the whole night.
Roll.
Roll
another one.
I get it.
Just like the other one.
Excuse me.
This one seems to be about.
I'm Barack Obama, and I approve this message.
I don't have another cent.
I don't always drink beer, but when I do, I drink to excess.
See, what's up with the world today, man? Can you believe that?
Just pass it around.
Mmm, delicious.
But don't both of that joint, my friend.
I'll have to get a coffee.
Whoops, you know what that means. It means our time is just about up.
Yeah! Get the f*** out of my house right now. Get the f*** out. Get out. Get out of my house right now. Leave.
Leave. Leave and leave.
I don't have a f***ing thing to add to that.
Thank you, David. Thank you, Sydney. Thank you, Larry. Thank you, America. We now return you to your local stations.
This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
The Cobb salad on point.